The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It is Thursday, February 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, officials say conclusive testing has confirmed that the patient under evaluation at the university, at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania is not infected with the Ebola virus. All hospital operations continue as usual, and there was no impact on any other patients or visitors during the standard evaluation process. Officials said in a statement earlier Wednesday, the testing was done in an abundance of caution because the patient met screening criteria for Ebola. The hospital had received extensive training for the possibility of caring for such a patient since the appearance of the virus in the United States in 2014. There is currently an outbreak of Ebola in the African country of Congo. On Monday, an international group of public health experts called on the World Health Organization to convene an emergency committee to consider declaring the outbreak an international public health emergency. Police in New Jersey have arrested a school bus driver for allegedly watching porn in front of the children.
You can't do that.
School officials at Mills Elementary School say they were notified on Monday that two children saw the bus driver, 64-year-old Frank LaFortune of Burlington Township, watching porn on his cell phone before they got off the bus. Police say the bus was parked at the time. A mother of one of the students who was on the bus said her child came home and said Frank had naked people on his phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Horrible. If you want to get into watching porn at work, get into radio.
Yeah. It's okay here.
Yeah.
No, wait. Was he doing it while they were on the bus?
Yeah, while apparently, the kids were on the bus. Yeah. They weren't driving at the time, but the kids were still on the bus.
Frank had naked people on his phone.
come on.
Dude, wait. Just wait.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, though? I mean,
take a smoke break.
No, but you know what? Like, if he was part, I'm not saying, I have no idea what happened, but you know those things happen all the time where you click on a link and something pops up.
He might be a great guy, and this may have just been a little moment that, you know, but I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
We don't know, Frank.
A letter from Chemung Township School District Superintendent Dr. Christine Vespy was sent home to parents. Among the things Vespy wrote, the principal and a counselor met with the students. Vespy says she can't comment any further on the ongoing investigation, but says the driver with Garden State Transportation has been suspended and will no longer have any involvement with the Chemung Township School District.
You know, it reminds me of, what was it, a picture that was making the rounds on the internet a while ago, a guy sitting in church.
Yes.
Watching porn his phone.
No. She says the district will continue to work with law enforcement. Garden State Transportation did not comment on the case. LaFortune was charged with obscenity to minors under the age of 18 and released a pending court appearance. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed into law a bill requiring the state's public schools to install a so-called panic alarm. Murphy signed the bill Wednesday. It's called the Alyssa Law after 14-year-old Alyssa Aladef was a New Jersey native who died in the fatal high school shooting a year ago in Parkland, Florida. Murphy, a Democrat, says the state will do everything in our power to prevent tragedies like the one in Parkland. The legislation requires the state's roughly 2,500 public schools to install silent alarms that communicate life-threatening or emergency situations to law enforcement. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
Legislative fiscal estimates said that the project could cost between $2.5 million and up to $12.5 million. The bill calls for tapping into the $500 million in voter-approved bond funding as a source of revenue for the project. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers, who have won 8 straight games, are back in action tonight when they'll host the LA Kings. 53 games into the season, the Flyers have 24 wins and 54 points. And despite the winning streak, they are still in 6th place in the Metro Division. The Kings have struggled much of the season and are the worst team in the Western Conference with only 48 points. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. The Sixers look to end their 2-game losing streak when they host the Denver Nuggets tomorrow at the center. The Sixers will reveal their new look lineup after they acquired Tobias Harris from the Clippers. The day before deadline trade adds another all-star caliber talent to the Sixers starting five, which already included Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and J.J. Redick. Tip-off tomorrow is at 7 o'clock. In college basketball, freshman forward Shadiq Bey scored a career-high 17 points. Senior guard Phil Booth hit key baskets down the stretch, and number 14 Villanova remained perfect in Big East play by beating Creighton 66-59 in overtime last night at the Pavilion. They have won their first 10 Big East games for the first time in program history. The defending national champions also became the first Big East team to start 10-0 in conference games since UConn won its first 11 on the way to the national title in 1999. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome all who choose to join us on this Thursday morning. Something I do want to point out about today and the very day that it is, it's the last day for you to get a hold of our special Cardboard Classic merchandise flash sale if you want to have this merchandise on you at the actual event. You need to order by today. So we have a limited edition of really cool Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic winter hats and hoodies that are available at the WMMR Rock Shop. So,
but then I have to do that. Yeah.
You want to get it by then, you got to order it today by noon.
By noon?
Yep, by noon. So you got to get that
done. I might
be
distracted during the show, then.
Keep that in mind. So click the shop button at WMMR.
Well, if you want to get it at all, you have to get it by noon. I think that's the idea behind this, is that it's a flash sale and then...
Oh, is it? Okay.
And at noon... Marissa, okay, yeah.
Limited time only, purchased by Thursday, February 7th at noon, and have it in time for the event. That's all I know that it says. Yep. So they stop going on sale?
Stop going on sale at noon.
All right, fair enough.
I like the way they look.
Yep. Gots to get them today, so please do that, and please join us for that event. It is so much fun. We have some things going on today guest-wise. Bill Bellamy is stopping by today. Bill Bellamy, formerly of, I got to know him on MTV.
Yeah, that's where I first saw him.
And a great comedian, and he's going to be at Punchline Philly tonight and then Friday and Saturday. So he's going to stop in a little later this morning. And oh, what a treat. Our friends from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa will be here.
This is actually awesome. Times out perfectly.
They will be handing out massages here. Are you going to get a little rub it up?
I think I am.
All right. And then we are going to give some away as well. And they are great gifts for Valentine's Day. Obviously, get a gift card for them. We'll, anybody on your list, and we'll give you those details a little bit later on this morning. We're getting closer to our Word of the Week prize. Walking Dead trip in Atlanta. Trip for two. Hotel, airfare, transportation, the whole deal, ground transportation while you're there, and you get to go to this very cool party with the undead.
So. See the teaser for the new episode starting up? Very gruesome.
With the mask?
Yeah.
I'm in, man. Looks
very cool.
Good. So I've been, there have been some really good teasers lately. There's HBO starting to promote the Game of Thrones. And the teaser they have for that is awesome as well. Speaking of awesome, Casey's hoodie today.
Yes.
I gotta say.
This old thing?
I love it. We mean this old thing. It's brand new, right?
This brand new thing that
I throw it on when I don't care how I look.
Oh, yeah. This is my brand new thing. It's a John Fishman hoodie sweatshirt. Press, check out the picture. I grammed it out last night.
I didn't see that.
Got new board shorts, too, that look just like these. John Fishman from the band Fish, you may have heard of them. He wears a muumuu that has this pattern on it.
It's
every concert.
Large red circles.
He wears that at every show?
Every show for as long as I can remember.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought that was just special occasions.
No.
I thought it was only when he played the vacuum cleaner.
Every single show.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah, so it's a navy blue with red circles on it.
I love it.
And I got it off of an Etsy site, and I'm so happy.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
you find some cool stuff on Etsy. From time to time. All right. Very good. So we have a lot of things going this morning. We hope you're going to stick around for the whole thing. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. I will ask you a stupid question. I will give you something away for the correct answer. We'll give it to you, I should say. And we'll get the entertainment report. That's on the way. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Red, red, red. Is she seeing red? Well, she wants to this Valentine's Day. Give her one of Steven Singer's famous Valentine's Day red 24-karat gold gem roses starting at only $59 with free shipping. A gift that lasts a lifetime. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We are going to do the stupid question, a four-pack of tickets for the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, which is the 15th through the 17th. And this question, courtesy of Miss Romano.
Oh!
Yeah, it's a good one, too. What five letters of the alphabet are not used in the months of the year?
All right.
If you were to spell out all the months of the year, there would be five letters that were not used in those words. What are they? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer, and we'll see if you can get it right and get you the prize. I have a bunch of birthdays today. It is Thursday, February 7th. A lot of musical birthdays today to start off with. We'll begin with the band Godsmack. It is Sully Erna's birthday today.
Man, Sully Erna ends up in so many music news
he does.
Reports that you do. Guy's very active.
That's exactly correct. And seems to be a pretty decent guy from what I've read. I don't know that I've ever met him before. But he celebrates his 51st birthday today. And he and I have that in common. So happy birthday, Sully Erna. Continuing in the world of music and guitar-heavy music like this we're hearing, Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit is 44. What's that, Case?
I'm sorry. I want to do a different song. I don't like that song. This is the one I want to sing.
Oh, great stuff. Instead of Nookie.
Yeah.
I just thought his talent exceeded the band.
Yeah, he's a good guitar player. Yeah. Most definitely. So Wes Borland, 44 years old today. And then tickling the ivories for Bon Jovi is Mr. David Bryan.
Ah.
I have had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times. He is a super nice guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's really. He went to Juilliard.
I know, which is...
Well, that's heavy duty.
I mean...
He doesn't...
Bon Jovi?
I know.
You know what I mean?
People go to Juilliard like playing Steely Dan and stuff like that.
Well, they're classical.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're concert pianists.
Yeah.
They're the best of the best. So, and he plays... for
but
Bon
he's
Jovi.
The best DD-er around.
He is. But you know what?
DD-er.
Super nice guy. And involved in musicals, I believe, Nick.
Really?
Didn't he do that?
He did Cats.
He did not do Cats. But he's allowed to do side projects, and he gets to go out on the road and kind of do whatever he wants.
How about that?
We hung out with him one time, and just to go on what you said, so nice.
Yeah.
Just a normal, everyday, went out of his way to be nice to everyone in the room.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that when he says, how are you, he means, how are you doing?
He wants to know.
That's cool. Happy birthday, David Bryan, 57 today.
That's very cool.
It is also actress Deborah Allen Wall's birthday today.
I love her.
If you watched True Blood, she's Jessica, and Daredevil, Karen Page. Is that her name?
Yeah, so she's Daredevil and also the Punisher.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I kind of started off her character as mousy, you know, and she is gorgeous.
She's awesome.
And she's coming to her own.
Yes.
She's 34 today. Ashton Kutcher has his birthday. Yeah. Ashton is 41 years old today.
Who would have figured that guy from that 70s show would actually be an entrepreneur and doing phenomenally well?
And really, and segued out of modeling, which he was a top, male model.
Yeah, he was Mila Kunis's first kiss.
Period.
On the show, period, when she was like... I think she was 14 when she joined the show.
Yeah. And they are married.
They're married.
So, 41 years old today. It's also Chris Rock's birthday today. Chris has been in so many things. It's ridiculous. And one of the best stand-up.
Yeah.
I remember the first time seeing him, or at least in a movie, was it the second Beverly Hills Cop? Or, wait a minute, no, what was he
in? He was in Boomerang.
He was in Boomerang.
Which was on. Eddie Murphy was on last night. Yeah.
He was a protege of Eddie Murphy, and Eddie threw him a couple of little bit roles here and there. And but his stand-up is where he thrived.
So I saw him on stage when he was just working on his early act, and he was down at a place that Eddie Murphy would frequent, and I was doing an open mic night, and he came in. He had maybe 2 minutes of material, but he was so comfortable on stage.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 2, and then he was going to get one rib.
One rib. And how much for one rib?
I'm going to get you, sucker.
Rib joint customer, he says. And he was in Boomerang. He played Boney T.
Boney T.
So happy birthday to Chris Rock, who is 54 today. Eddie Izzard celebrates his birthday, too. Eddie was here in our studio. He's just such a nice guy.
Great guy. And the guy, you look at him, he's kind of a squat. He doesn't appear particularly athletic, but he runs back-to-back marathons around the world.
I mean... tons of them.
Tons
a,
of
a
them.
Year.
Yes.
He will go out and run multiple, multiple marathons.
It's his thing.
It's pretty wild. But he's a great comedian and actor, and he's 57 today. Robert Smigel, who is Triumph the Insult comic dog.
One of my absolute favorite creative comedic minds around. He's done so much stuff that I adore. The Triumph stuff alone is great.
You ever met him, Steve?
Yeah. Okay. You know, we did interview him on the show, but on the phone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's 59. James Spader. James Spader's awesome.
He's great.
Part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well, because he was Ultron. He was the Age of Ultron.
Some people were sort of split on that portrayal of Ultron. I think it's sort of ingenious.
I think
he was perfect for it.
Yeah.
And because he is supposed to be sort of the progeny of Tony Stark.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He has the same sort of delivery, you know, and I thought it worked.
Cocky attitude.
And
sarcastic.
Yeah.
And for what was supposed to be, you know, artificial intelligence, he had a personality.
Yeah.
And emotions.
I loved it. I thought
it was cool.
Yeah. And I think because I wasn't a comic book reader, I can appreciate all of these movies and all, you know.
You got nothing to compare it to.
I got nothing to compare it to.
Yeah. That's not bad at all. But he's been great throughout the years in movies like Lincoln, and he was, you know, tons of, you know, Sex, Lies, Videotape, and Wall Street. He was in The Office and Boston Legal. So happy birthday to James Spader. Garth Brooks has birthday today. The country musician, super duper star. He could do no wrong for a while there. He was the top of the world as far as country music went.
He's always been very open about how much he adores rock. Rock is such a big part of what he does. I was out in Las Vegas, Preston, when he had announced his return to Vegas and all that stuff. The amount of posters and murals and billboards announcing this around that city was insane.
Yeah, I believe it. 57 today. And then the last birthday, Nick had to point this out to me, Robin Lively, who was the star of the movie Teen Witch, has her birthday today. And we actually had a movie screening of that one night at the Trocadero. It was hilarious because of how just 80s goofy that movie is, and this song in particular.
You can do all that you can, but you'll never top that.
Top that! But she is 47 years old.
And she looks great.
She does. Happy birthday. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to this question. What five letters of the alphabet are not used in the months of the year, according to Kathy Romano? 215-263-WMMR. I am going to go to Jimmy, see if we can get a correct answer. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud. So give me those five letters, please, that are not used when spelling the months of the year.
We got K, Q, X, W, and Z.
Those are the ones that I have.
Yep. Wait a second. It's not September?
Nope. Hang on, Jimmy. Four pack of tickets to the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, February 15th through the 17th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. You can get tattooed on site by 1,500 of the world's best tattoo artists. Tickets just $20. You can visit villainarts.com for information. We'll start with our buddy Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
By the way, we have a life-size stand-up of him in the
corner.
Where
did that come from?
It came from a guy named Jerry Torres, who sent it to us. Jerry's a local guy. He has a podcast. He is a local stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And he desperately wants to be a guest on the Preston and Steve show. So he sent us a six-foot-tall stand-up of Bradley Cooper, which is in the corner of the studio. Thank you, Jerry. We're not going to have you as a guest on the show, but we appreciate it.
But maybe one day.
You never know.
Well, it occasionally scares me. Like, I forget that it's there, and I think someone's there.
I draw comfort from it, knowing that I'm under the watchful gaze of Bradley Cooper.
What if Jerry can get Bradley to come with him?
Then he's on the show.
Then he's on the show.
All right.
100%.
Yeah, most definitely. But thank you, Jerry. We appreciate it. So Bradley admits that he's pretty embarrassed about getting passed over for a Best Director nomination for his directorial debut, A Star Is Born. Beloved by critics and audiences alike, many were shocked when his name didn't appear in the final nominations, but he wasn't. He told Oprah for her upcoming Super Soul Conversations TV special, "I was not surprised. I'm never surprised about not getting nominated. The first thing I felt was embarrassment, actually.
Huh.
I felt embarrassed that I didn't do my part. Like, oh gosh, I didn't do my job." Still, the film did get 8 Oscar nominations, including Best Actor for him. Best Actress and Best Supporting Actor. He also spoke, and this is interesting. His dad Charles died in 2011.
Yes, yeah,
lung cancer, and he talked about the impact it had on him. He said it was everything. It was the biggest gift he ever gave me. He said the second biggest gift, having me, bringing me into this life, and then him allowing me to be witness to his passing, was equally as huge, he said. He was cradled in my arms, and when he took his last breath, I honestly felt like it went into me, and I've never seen anything the same since.
That's pretty profound.
Oh. Wow, it's very profound. He added, I stopped sweating stuff that I was sweating before that. It changed the way that I was as an actor by, like, the next day, and I just started to live my life in a different way.
I tried to have the same thing with my dad, but he kept pushing the pillow away.
He said, I'd seen someone die before, but losing my father that way, it changed everything.
That's wild.
Yeah, I was not aware that he was holding him as he passed. Oprah's Super Soul Conversations from Times Square will air on February 16th at 8 p.m.
I thought her follow-up question was really insightful, too, Preston.
If your child said they had their salad tossed, would you know what they meant?
Well, listen, speaking of Oprah, she isn't ready to hang up her hat just yet. She tells Entertainment Tonight, despite having turned 65 on the 29th, she said it's a milestone. It's an interesting thing. She said, Gail was saying, are you feeling some kind of way? And I go, yeah, actually, I'm feeling some kind of way because it's the number of which the United States government has said you're officially old. You are now going to retire. And all my friends are sending me things like, did you get your Medicare card? I think you're going to be okay. And she still says that she doesn't believe in retirement, so she's not going to be hanging it up anytime
soon. Well, a couple of things there. That age, 65, was set years and years ago when the life expectancy was much shorter, A. And B, she does the interviews really well. And since she's doing this show, which is like well on the way to the regular Oprah show.
Yeah.
Just do regular Oprah show.
She'll never retire. She'll never stop.
No. And she can do it at her leisure, which is
she sets the rules.
Much better.
Yeah.
Right? We weren't speaking of Ben Affleck, but
yes,
let me
were.
Tell you about Ben Affleck.
Hey.
You can be confident I'm always thinking about it. And Batman.
A source tells ET that Ben Affleck and his Saturday Night Live producer ex, Lindsay Shookus, are talking again.
Ooh.
No word of a romance, though.
Hey, Shooky Shook. It's Benny B.
Shooky Shook.
Benny B.
The source said Ben's main priority remains his family and children. The pair, of course, split shortly before he reentered rehab for the third time. This is a Shookus that I'm talking
about. Shookus!
Yeah.
Now, he actually had that little brief fling with the playmate.
Yep.
And that was at the point at which he figured, okay, perhaps it's time to put the brakes on.
Yep.
Slow the roll.
But Jennifer Garner is reflecting on her life in the spotlight. The Golden Globe winner shares three kids with Ben. And as she explains in the Wall Street Journal magazine's March Women's Style issue, the unwanted media attention really spiraled out of control once they got married, as I would imagine that it did.
And she's adorable. I follow her on Instagram, which means I really know her very well as a person. but she just seems like I would want her to be my mommy. You know, she has a very maternal, warm, she'd probably, you know, read you a story at bedtime, Preston.
I'd want her to be my mommy, like those videos I see on
mommy.
Certain websites.
In
a column for the magazine, Garner writes, how do you adapt your career to your life? That's a big question.
Yeah.
Becoming someone who is well-known requires an enormous adaptation. Who am I now? How do I go through the world? Then there's having children. And in my case, a career that's a very selfish one. The combination of those things is the largest adaptation of all. She said, something that Ben and I used to say to each other all the time is, we have to adapt. We were surrounded by paparazzi. There were so many things that you wouldn't expect. She said, we'd be left alone more at Disneyland than we would at a park in Santa Monica. But if you love something, you'll do whatever you need to do it. And they announced their separation in June of 2015, by the way. Their divorce was finalized late last year.
I'll say this. I would say she saved his life.
Probably.
Yeah.
She gave him a ride to rehab.
Gave him a freaking ride to rehab.
And you know, leading up to that, she said, dude, you got to get it together.
Got to do another Batman movie.
Baby steps, okay? That's next. Let me get
clean.
I know.
That's my kind of intervention.
She'll go next.
Ben, all your friends are here.
I quit drinking. No, it's not about that.
That's good.
God, you, Steve, you need to be at that intervention. You need to be in that room. Who's this guy over
and
here?
I can say there's coffee and donuts in the back like an AMU.
Right.
Look at the donuts are shaped like bats.
Henry Cavill comes in. And slowly everybody starts to walk Gal Gadot.
Hey, yeah. Kendall Jenner has long been open. I know.
Hey, I'm
waiting to hear this.
I'm okay with Kendall Jenner these days. She's 11-2 as far as being in
the Sixers
game. So,
listen,
she's okay in my book.
I would love. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen for a multitude of reasons. But were she to come in here, we would show her our Bradley Cooper cutout.
Yeah, right. Kendall Jenner has long been open about her struggles with mental health in the face of constant attention on social media. She graces Allure's March cover. And Inside
discusses... Thank you for sitting down with us.
Listen, Inside, she discusses her journey with acne and anxiety.
Those are her two shih tzus.
She said...
Acne, calm down.
Come here.
Stop fighting anxiety.
She said, I was feeling good about myself, and then when people say mean things, I'm like, I know I have it. I know I'm breaking out. You guys don't have to keep pointing it out. I obviously see that, but let me live.
Stop
it! Listen, I can understand maybe a teenager living a normal life.
Yes.
Having...
What's the distinction here, Preston? Let's take us through between that young 13, 14-year-old girl who's trying to be accepted in school and compare and contrast to Kendall Jenner. What is the difference that immediately leaps to mind?
$1 billion?
Yes!
Yeah, that has a little... Because guess what? I'm fat, out of shape, you know?
And you don't have a billion dollars.
And guess who's got a zit right here? You know, and if you
you know,
what
you do
out,
have though a kick-ass hoodie.
You do. He does.
Thank you, Steve. You know what?
I made you see the light, didn't
yes,
I?
You did.
That's why my Ben Affleck intervention would go very well.
But it's funny because listen, if you don't know by now, okay, so you've grown up in this world. If you don't know by now that posting anything at all on social media is going to get you loads of praise and it's going to get you loads of sarcastic. Mean comments.
Every
then you
time.
Need to stop doing
stop
it.
Stop doing it. But what happens is again they live in this bubble, and I honestly I do think she seems like a pretty okay person, and that's fine. But they live in this. They start to they become. I've often said to you, Preston, if someone's an a-hole, they've set their own prison. They're imprisoned by their own. And not I'm saying she's an a-hole. She lives in her world of beauty,
right?
And so you think, okay, you have all this beauty. But with that comes the downside of the slightest imperfection sends you into, you know, a complete depression.
And maybe, I mean, you gotta become a little galvanized. You gotta pull up. You just gotta ignore that stuff if you can. But she didn't. And we were playing If You Don't Know Me By Now.
You said if you don't know.
I heard the same thing.
Yeah.
This song triggered in my head when you said this.
I like it.
You will never, never, never know me.
So she said, I know I have a zit. I know I'm breaking out. You guys don't have to point it out. I obviously see that. But
No, there's kale between your teeth.
Let me live. She said the social media slams she got after appearing at the 2018 Golden Globes with blemishes. I have cried endlessly for days.
By the way, blemishes is her third shih tzu.
I have cried endlessly for days because of things people have said to me. Now, when she's saying people have said things to me, they haven't said things to you.
No,
they haven't posted them on social media. There is a difference. They probably wouldn't say it to your face. And she said, I've had to become stronger through it, she revealed.
If you're crying for days, you're not also not posting and telling people that. Like, if she was truly upset, she's not going to come out and be like, I was crying for days.
I know.
But this is the mental health
Kendall?
Part of it all. Yeah.
Kendall!
You've been crying for 3 days straight.
You've got to eat something, baby.
She said, I mean, don't
get me... Mommy stopped at the Cheesecake Factory.
She said, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am not superhuman. I definitely feel, and the things people say online are very hurtful.
All right, now we have to just...
take that narcissism dial and bring it back just a little bit.
You also just have to live your life and not pay attention to it. Well, there you go.
Now, that's some smart talking there, young lady.
She said, I think it can get pretty unhealthy if you really are deep in it and paying attention to it all the time, and I think that's what can really mess you up. All right.
Just letting you know right now, my finger's moving over towards the shut the F up button.
Okay.
If there's more, I'll go, but I think...
No, that's it.
All right, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just...
I think that's what can really mess you up.
Okay, so two nights ago, I watched the Netflix version of the Fyre Festival documentary, and then last night, I watched the Hulu version of it because I'm obsessed with it.
Which one is better?
They're both great.
Okay.
And they both take different angles, but she's featured prominently in both because she's a social influencer. She gets, according to the second documentary, the one I watched last night, she gets $250,000 per post, and some people think that that's undervalued, that she should probably actually get more because she has 3 million followers.
And that's also
on
why
Instagram.
She's been subpoenaed in this whole thing. I don't think she was doing anything nefarious. She was
not really.
It was a gig.
No, and they were models in the Bahamas, and they were being paid to be down there. But Steve, just talking lately about Instagram and social media and everything you just sort of referenced, Preston, with Kendall and Instagram, these documentaries about Fyre Festival are just as much about this disaster that happened at this festival as they are about Instagram and narcissism and social media. And I can't recommend them more highly.
All right. Cool. I might be in on that.
You remember her Instagram post in advance of the festival, Preston, where it was Kendall saying, do you love cheese sandwiches and styrofoam containers?
I'm looking from a photo shoot Nick pulled up. She posted 2 days ago. It's her standing in a doorway, 100% completely naked, except for white high heel shoes, some knee-high nylons, and she's wearing yellow gloves that come up to her elbow. She's totally naked in that picture.
I think she'd just been cleaning the bathroom with
gloves. Oh, yeah. Okay. Those are like...
Who dropped the Upper Decker?
Those are dishwasher gloves.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. All right.
Caitlin, did you drop an upper deck? I'm sorry.
All right, moving on. Let's get to something a little more real. Denise Richards is opening...
Now we're talking real downtown.
No. This is legit. Is opening up about motherhood, raising Sam, Lola, and Eloise, who is 7 years old. She said it's extremely hard to keep children grounded. This is not an easy time to grow up. Now, raising Eloise, whom she adopted and has a chromosomal disorder... has been particularly challenging. She says she wasn't able to sit up on her own for a very long time.
I didn't know this. So she has a special needs child? Huh.
She didn't start walking until she was 2, and that was with physical therapy. She says she can only say a handful of words. And Richards, by the way, married Aaron Fipers in September, so they're raising these kids together. And she said, and there are times when she feels like her age and understanding, and then there are other times when it feels she's emotionally 3 years old.
That's wild.
It's been challenging, and I'm learning every day because they don't really have a roadmap for her particular case. So I did not know that.
Very cool that they would do that.
Yeah. That comes with all kinds of challenges. So my heart goes out to any parent who has that. I mean, the love is there, obviously, and it's unconditional, but it can be very, very difficult.
Well, we're looking at a picture where she's a beautiful little girl.
Oh, she is adorable.
Yeah.
Well, 72-year-old soap star icon Susan Lucci.
Yes.
Underwent surgery to fix blocked arteries.
Isn't this crazy?
Yeah, because she's...
She's always been in shape.
She's always been very slender, and you usually think of, like...
She has no arteries.
Heart blockage or artery blockage is people who are maybe overweight, have a lot of cholesterol, smoke, and things like that. I don't know if she smokes or not, but she discovered a problem while shopping at the Tory Burch boutique in Manhasset, Long Island.
Yes.
Lucci went to the hospital in extreme discomfort, and the doctors there discovered a 90% blockage in the heart's main artery and a 70% blockage in another. She says that she was shocked, and she's sharing her story so other women monitor themselves. She said, we often put ourselves on the back burner, but if your body is telling you something, we need to pay attention. So
remember, this is
going to be all right.
Same sort of thing happened with Letterman. It was that level of closure. I think maybe Todd Glass was at the 90% mark.
Maybe.
Kevin Smith. Yeah. So, wow. Well, good for her.
So is that it? That's not a heart attack, though, right?
It could lead to a heart attack or stroke, but she got to it in time.
Yeah. Which, by the way, how do you check on blockage of your arteries? Is it simply cholesterol levels?
I just kind of take an X-Acto knife and put it into different parts of my body.
No, you could do like a heart cam thing. There are special, like, I guess you do like EKGs.
Maybe there are telltale signs that start to get them to want to go in and take a closer look.
I think you're short-winded. If you're feeling like a general malaise or low energy, again, I'm not a doctor, but I think that's what I've heard the signs would be.
What about pain in the arm?
The left arm?
That's heart attack level. Okay. Yeah. And I can never remember which arm it is. Is it right or left?
I can't either.
So anytime I have a pain, I just go to the emergency
room. I'm in excruciating pain, but it's my right arm, so I'm good. I'm dyslexic.
All right, so anyhow, she's getting taken care of. Let's see here. How about this? The Simpsons have been renewed by Fox for seasons 31 and 32.
They are totally off of my radar. I can't tell you the last time I watched a Simpsons episode, and it's a shame.
Every Sunday night.
Yeah.
Every Sunday night for at this point now, you know, decades.
I haven't watched them in years, Case, but you know what? It's nice to know that they're there.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. That's the way I put it. You know, I haven't seen a Simpsons episode in ages.
The fact that they can still seize upon topics and really, you know, do a great job and explore further stories. I think what happens is, as I said before, you have these different generations of writers coming in. And, okay, you know, this is like the gray period of the Simpsons and the red. You know, so they have their different driving comedic forces, and it keeps it fresh.
When those seasons include 31 and 32, it will bring the show's episode tally to an astonishing 713, solidifying and extending its record as TV's longest-running scripted primetime series.
All right, so let me ask you this. Every single episode is kind of like its own little island, right?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily...
They've had a couple of connecting episodes.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Yeah. Like, there's only a few parts of the storyline that... I'm trying to...
It's not anchored, right? The cat died?
The cat died. The neighbor, Ned's wife, is dead. You know...
But few things have teeth to hold on. So it's like Bart is perpetually in the same grade.
Right.
So even if you were to take it in as one day, it's even less than that. It could be like... It's just this amorphous time period that you can't quite put your finger on. But everything stays pretty much the same. Multiple episodes would have been like Who Shot Mr. Burns and those... You know, those episodes.
Yeah, and there were recurring characters like Sideshow Bob will come back and Homer's mom, and so people that aren't on all the time.
Yeah. All right. We were just asking a heart question, and guess who's calling? Dr. Mike Sirigliano, I knew it. Good morning, sir.
Listen, very briefly, very quickly, here's the deal. February is Women's Heart Health Month, and women are notoriously underdiagnosed with heart disease because they present with symptoms different than men. They don't have the classic chest pain sometimes. They can complain of fatigue, back pain. So women in particular have to be very concerned when they have symptoms that aren't usually there for them. And secondly, you ask, well, how do you tell? Well, there's a couple ways. One, you can do this calculation where you factor in blood pressure and cholesterol, something called the C-reactive protein. But what I do and what I've done on a number of you guys is the cardiac calcium CAT scan.
Yes.
And that's like a 10-minute test. It looks at your coronaries to see if you have any plaque in there. And if you have a high score, then what you do is you proceed with making sure that your cholesterol is low, that you're eating right, doing the right things. And if it's really positive, we'll do a stress test.
Okay.
And we find it before something happens.
I've done the stress test. It's a pain in the ass. But it's definitely it's a really, really good indicator.
Yeah.
It saves your life. So the key is finding it before, Kathy, you have a heart attack. So coronary disease and angina are precursors to a heart attack. But if you can catch it early... Off the hook.
Okay. So, Dr. Mike, Kathy's sitting here eating her usual bowl of cholesterol in the morning. No. What is there a particular age range for a woman that they should consider getting some of these tests?
Well, believe it or not, young people can have coronary disease. It's very variable. It has to do with genetics, family history, has to do with what kind of lifestyle. If you smoke... Okay. You better be on alert because you're doing yourself a very big disfavor that can lead to heart disease.
All right. Good to go. All right. Thank you, Dr. Mike. I need to come see you soon. I got a stupid thing bothering me.
Love you.
I love you.
See you, Dr. Mike. You know, I forgot who the comedian was that we had in here the one time who said, you know, the thing about turning 50 years old, he goes, is when you hurt yourself, you know, like I bang my shin on the coffee table and go, yeah, it's going to hurt for a year. I did something to my arm, and it's been over a month now, and it's still, like, hasn't even, relaxed a tiny bit. It still hurts, and now I'm like, great.
You never ask.
What is that?
No, the question is no longer, how do I fix that? The question is, can I live with this?
Can I live with
for the rest of my life?
Yeah. I think how do I alter my everyday life so I can live with
my
this?
My daily routine to accommodate for my skipping accident.
Steve did injure himself skipping one day.
Yes, I did.
On the show. Yeah, exactly. All right. Just one more thing. We'll go with this. Captain Marvel, set to drop March 8th, will be the first Disney title to be withheld from Netflix. It will not end up being on Netflix.
Why?
I know why.
Why?
Do tell.
Because of Disney's pay channel, correct?
It will instead be offered on Disney Plus, their streaming service, scheduled to launch later this year.
And Preston, this is how they extort you.
That's what's going to start
happening. That's what's going to start happening. The app hole.
The more of these, the gaping app hole.
Well, CBS has already done it.
The more of these pay services that come up, these platforms, the more they're going to get these exclusives. And if you really, really want that, you got to buck up. And at what point is this going to be, for those who are like cord cutters, is it going to become more expensive than your cable package?
It's actually right there.
Yeah?
Depending on your level of what you watch. And they did it. Forbes did it. And they did sort of different lifestyles and television consumption. Couple of bucks. Couple of bucks difference. So as you start to add on things like this, now you got to realize Disney owns the world. All the pop culture stuff we love pretty much falls under their umbrella.
Yeah. Right.
So that's going to be an issue. Preston, I'm paying for the CBS app now because I started watching Star
Trek.
That
pisses me off because CBS was never a pay thing to begin with.
Well,
so now all of a sudden you're like, oh, CBS has been free.
Put that show on your broadcast channel.
They've been free. Dude, you're with me, man.
Right?
And I'm with you.
What did you start a TV channel for?
You have been free.
Hey,
friggin' ever.
WMMR introduces a new way to listen to us through your radio.
Yeah.
But we're going to charge.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, exactly.
I'm not going to do it. And you know what?
I did it. I am a bitch of CBS.
I won't do it, and I won't watch anything on CBS until they make CBS Plus free.
But will you do Disney?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. I love Star Wars. I love Marvel. I love everything in the Disney universe, Pixar, all of it. And I feel like they've got me bent over the barrel.
But Disney's always been a pay channel, though.
Now, mind
you,
but
not the way that I can watch some of the Disney movies now.
Right.
I've already paid for them.
When Captain Marvel comes out, you'll be able to watch it on Apple TV, or you'll be able to watch if you want to, you know,
or get the DVD.
It just won't be part of your subscription. Oh, it's just part of the thing that's available.
Mm-hmm.
You can pay to watch it on a number of different streaming services.
But it seems like everything from here forward will go into this Captain Marvel, you know, model most likely.
Yeah.
And all those Star Wars and all those Marvel movies that from here on out will probably be just available here post theater, you know. So.
And this is why you have the Marvel shows on Netflix of all, even though they were doing well,
mm-hmm.
They canceled them all because
they're going to go over
Netflix
here.
Doesn't want to promote something that's going to be part of the Disney setup.
Yeah, and you know what else is pissing me off right now? And I knew that it was going to go this way. Is when you get
color television.
No, when you get those digital downloads, when you get a DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, those things are going away. Like Movies Unlimited Disney stuff. They make it harder.
They just merged with another company.
Okay.
So there used to be like three different sites. Now there's only one.
I don't like the video quality of a lot of that streaming stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of it doesn't come across the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that's all we use.
No, that's okay.
By the way, Casey, where are the coats? You haven't given me any in a while.
What's the what? Oh, the codes?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't gotten a code in a while.
Okay.
That's Casey is Kathy's movie hookup.
Casey gets the movie. He takes the DVD, and then he gives me the code.
We still buy DVDs
you
know, from time to time, or Blu-rays, whatever. Yeah. A streaming service, by the way, Disney Plus, is scheduled to launch later this year. The executives know that it's going to hurt. CFO Christine McCarthy says that the House of Mouse expects a $150 million hit for Captain Marvel.
But you know what the deal is also? Netflix is kicking ass. The vast majority of what's making them the most money is original content.
Yeah.
As long as they keep doing that, they'll be fine.
Yep. And by the way, and I think maybe this is a topic for discussion, I think my wife and I disagree on this, and I think, Kathy, you would disagree with me, but Steve, you would agree with me.
Backdoor stuff.
No.
Diane and I are on the same page.
DVDs and Blu-rays do make beautiful display items for your living room.
You've seen my house.
Yes.
They make a mess in my house. I have them all. I have them set up. I have my different cabinets. I have like a hidden cabinet. Oh, yeah.
I think they look beautiful.
It's a point of pride for me. Right next to my toys. No, everything a young man could want.
Listen, as long as they're on display nicely and you know, they can be in alphabetical order.
And they're broken down in horror and sci-fi and 3D and 4K. I've got it all.
It's when they're not put back properly, it starts to look trashy.
I've thrown away all the boxes, and we have containers, basically these gigantic, like, suitcase-type things with sleeves.
Oh, and you just keep them in there?
Keep them in there,
Do you know what you can do, Preston?
And I have two different ones. I have the ones that are all animated stuff, and the other one is all
look at you organizing.
I know.
I love it.
Scratched that way.
And Casey, you were correct. I disagree with you. If they're neat or not, no.
Well, your opinion is wrong, and in my opinion,
there, settle it. Yes. Argument over. We have to move along. We got to do clips.
Clips. Santa's got to go.
Yeah. What Memoir follows a woman who develops an unexpected advantage when she acquires the power to read the thoughts of men. In this clip, Tracy Morgan discusses how genuinely excited he is to work with director Adam Shankman.
I've worked with many directors throughout my career. He's in my top five. He lets you go, lets you create the character, and he allows you to make a choice, and I've learned that from him. He gives you someplace safe, warm, and loving to work. The most important thing about Adam that I noticed, he gives you that freedom to create.
No, I...
What Men Want is going to hit theaters tomorrow, by the way. Here's the next clip. Lego Movie 2, the second part, rejoins the Lego world 5 years later as the characters face their newest threat, Lego Duplo, invaders from outer space. In this clip, Chris Pratt describes his process for voicing two different characters. Here we go.
I do them individually. It was just easier for time for me to go through and do all of my Emmett stuff and then go back through and do all of my Rex stuff. Especially at the beginning of the process, because I wasn't super familiar with doing Rex's voice, it was hard to go back and forth.
Why are you here?
I wonder what Duplo means. Remember you had the Kregel?
Yes.
Duplo is the bigger version of Legos that toddlers play with. Yeah,
okay.
So when Legos are too small because they can be a swallowing hazard for little kids, they play with Duplo.
Oh, well, there you go. Lego Movie 2, the second part opens tomorrow. That's it. So they got the entertainment report this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a little while. Our friend Bill Bellamy is going to be stopping by performing at Punchline tonight and then Friday and Saturday. Hand and Stone is coming in. We'll give away some massages. We'll pass those around. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I just saw something. Somebody texted. Our listeners you're so smart.
Yeah?
I had no idea, and I was a part of this radio station 22 years ago today. DRE went off the air. Somebody texted that in. Thank
today?
You. Yeah, it was, and I have an old DRE T-shirt from Bitterfest, our very last show, and it has February 7th on it. I should have worn it today. I didn't know.
Go home.
I should go home and get it.
And 14 years ago, later this month, Y100 went off the air. It was at the end of February.
Yep.
It was later this month.
Later this month, it was the 23rd or 24th.
Yeah,
So my first radio job where I was hired, not in a freelance capacity, was WDRE New York, which we got WDRE Philly.
That's correct. That's where Steve and I met, WDRE. I was thinking about that. I was reminiscing about that station the other day. It was a fun time. I was there for 1 year. That was it. It feels like I was there for a decade, though, as much as we did, as much fun as we had.
And the impact.
And what a crappy little podunk slap-together radio station it was. It was really special. So.
Yep.
To me personally, anyhow, but thank you for pointing that out. I had no idea, so I need to acknowledge that. Okay, so something I noticed that I follow on Instagram.
This is not noticer. This is personal noticing.
No, it might turn into noticer, but you don't have to.
No, you don't have to.
Sure.
Don't sell it.
So I follow an Instagram account called I Was Today Years Old, and it just points out things that you never realized until today.
Okay.
And so one of them I saw the other day, and some of them are legit, and other ones are kind of bogus, I think. But anyhow, it's some funny things to point out, like, oh, my God, I never, like Wilson, you know, the volleyball.
From
Castaway, like Kathy, to realize that. So
epiphanies and things like that?
Yeah. So when you see an emoji, and I'll do my best to describe it to our listening audience, of two hands facing palm to palm,
yes,
like this, okay, what does that mean to you?
All right, so I'm probably the least emoji literate of the group here. I would say praying.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would see that emoji pop up at the end of as a comment to a post, and prayer didn't make sense to me. I'm like, why would you prayers for what you just that doesn't make any sense.
Prayer turd?
You know what? No. What this is also considered,
what?
And now I see it as this. Okay. It's a high five.
Oh.
It's two hands slapping together.
Yeah. See, the other one is a high five. It's
just the palm facing you. Yeah. See, I've never even thought of that as a high five. I thought of that as palm. As hey, hi.
Look at my hand. Look at my hand.
I think you're wrong because I just typed the word praying in, and that emoji comes up as an option.
Type in high
five. Now I'm going to type in high five, and we'll see what happens here.
High five.
Well, he's saying it's not used for praying. It's also that.
Okay. All right. Now it's got the two. It's got the one that Kathy talked about, and then it's got two hands next to each other with little. I don't know.
So that
impact.
That one would be like praise.
Yeah.
I think
today years old is actually wrong. Today years old is absolutely wrong because this. If you go by
absolutely wrong, you can interpret it that way if you want.
Well, I'd sort of interpret it the way that they're telling me to interpret it.
You mean that if you type the word out,
you
have
a
replacement emoji there for
that's
it.
That's the suggestion they get.
Someone's gotten a little cocky with their fish hoodie.
Relax.
No, all you guys back off because they don't even suggest the prayer emoji here.
But I now do see it posting as people interpreting it as a high five. Because, like I said, I've seen posts and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to offer prayers for whatever, you know, somebody just said that.
Somebody just said they lost,
5 pounds or whatever. Hey, praying for you. No, it's high five. Nice job. You know what I mean? So now it kind of makes sense to me. So I don't know.
You get confused by it. Listen, Casey's very good at the emoji stuff. I don't use it. A lot of people write almost exclusively in emoji speak.
Yeah.
I'm solving a puzzle. It's too much work.
I do it occasionally. I mainly do it when
if only there was a written language.
I mainly do it when I'm like super in a hurry and I'm not going to take the time to write. Hey, thanks a lot. I'll just do thumbs up. You know what I mean?
Have you created your own avatar for your animated emoji? I do.
What
do they call
for the animated one?
Yeah.
What do they call the
Bitmoji?
Bitmojis.
Yeah.
No, I never have taken the time to do it. Every time, Steve, that I've been on a video game that has the option to create your own avatar like your face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never do. No, I'm just artistically, I can't create the features of my own face with those tools available. I can't do it with a an emoji thingy either.
So I just created my avatar for my Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So I did that, and it's pick the ball character. And then I hit enter. That's it. You know?
Okay. By the way, thank you for using the thumbs up and not the letter K as a response, because the K to me is insulting. The thumbs up I will accept as somebody saying that, all right, I got you.
I know. I kind of agree with you.
And also THX.
K is stupid to me.
If you're going to say thanks, write out thanks.
Whatever. I don't get my panties in a bunch about any of that stuff.
I don't really either.
K is definitely a dismissive, like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't like, though, if you've taken the time to write something that's fairly elaborate, I just want to say what you did meant so much to me, and you get thumbs up. It's like you say, who you at, bastard? I think a little bit more would be, you know,
to
show
an
impact.
I know what you mean.
I just want you to know that you are the center of my life and my soulmate. Hey!
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
But the thumbs up and the crying laughing emoji are kind of go-tos for me now, where it's like, okay, I want to acknowledge what you said, and you were trying to be funny, so here's me laughing.
Ha. Yeah.
You know that crying emoji? There was a story, and in fact, it was like victims of the internet. It was something on the Sci-Fi Channel. There was this girl who sent out, there was a police officer been shot and killed, and she wanted to send out because she wrote an emoji speak, crying.
And she sent like
she
the laughing.
Laughing crying.
Oh, geez.
And that, it basically just ruined her in that town.
I saw another thing about posting online and so forth. I thought this was kind of fun. These are tweets that will make you say, thank goodness I am not the only one trying to figure out how to adult. So how to be an adult in your life. So these are adults.
This is very timely because anytime I do something adult where I call, you know, I say putting on my big boy pants.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because there are certain things in life, like, for example, doing your taxes on right. time or doing any of that stuff. I'm going in for just a medical checkup on Monday, and that, you know, I said to my wife, well, I got to put on my big boy pants and go do this.
I still get a little personal sense of pride when I do something that actually is very adult.
Like what?
Like, wow.
Wait, like what?
I'm really proud of me.
So give me some so I can commiserate, because I know a few that come to mind.
Well, one time, so this was a couple of years ago, we were having an issue with a kid who was kind of being bullyish to my son, and so I did a very adult thing, and I called the parents, and I had a very frank adult discussion about it. Nothing. I was just very cautionary and very, hey, I thought I'd let you know.
You didn't punch the guy.
That was very adult of me, I thought.
Okay.
And
all
I was
right,
very
I
proud of myself for doing that. I was actually nervous when I made that call.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you send yourself a high five emoji?
I should have done that. I was praying for myself to do well. So that was a very adult thing for me to do.
Because I don't think a lot of people.
Very grown up.
It's funny when you say this, because a lot of people won't admit. You're just assumed to know, like, you know. How does the car renewal again? How do I get an easy pass? All these things that are life things that you should know how to do.
Yeah.
You know,
I vacillate between like 17 and 25 years old, I think. That's kind of pretty much it.
That's about right.
Except for when I'm tired and then I'm like 80, you know, so. But for the most part, mentally, I feel like I'm that old.
The other exception is when you're parenting. And when you actually have to be an adult to your kids, you're like, right. Oh, all right, I'm not their buddy, I'm their parent.
Yep. All right, so here's a couple of things that people had noticed.
Yeah.
These are tweets. This one says, so I tried to keep a planner for this year because I wanted to be more organized. I failed because I can't remember where I put it after I bought it.
Yep.
Adulting fail.
I've bought the same thing twice.
Here's you've brought the same thing twice?
Like, I've gone to the store, seen it, like, and it was something for Jace, and I'm like, he would really like this, so I kept it. I bought it, like, well before Christmas, and then when Christmas came around, I was like, oh, my God, he'll love that, and I got it again, and when I went through the things, I'm like, why do I have two of these?
Yeah. So this is actually a big topic, Kathy, for that. That's why a lot of times I buy, like, my movies and stuff. I'll buy, you know, Blu-rays. I buy them on Amazon because it'll come up. You purchase this item. It'll tell you.
I'm
going to have that?
Yeah.
And I'll go and look to my stuff and go, I do have it.
You know what I get in trouble for is, like, actually buying things for the house that will be needed at some point. Like, yesterday, I got some milk. All right? We already have milk. Well, guess what? That milk's going to run out. Okay? So I got milk for after that milk runs out.
Did you catch crap for that?
Yes! Yes! Dude!
Like, is your wife, like a little bit, I know she's not a minimalist, but does she like lesser things?
No, she's just, you know, she's
she hyper, doesn't like you.
No, she's hyper aware of who I am, right? And I, listen, in addition to the milk, maybe I got some things that I didn't need, you know? Like, okay.
Like a big foam rubber hat.
No, well,
candy
listen,
bar.
By the way, I.
And a lasso.
I didn't get a candy bar, I got Oreos.
I knew it was something like that.
But. I bought two types of cereal. I did the investigative work. As a matter of fact, Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch are not built on the same chassis. So I figured, but.
And you bought some magic beans.
And I did not. No, but the previous day, I went and got a whole bunch of like soap and shampoo. And she's like, I'm like, I know, but eventually that's going to run out.
And
I sent you out for chicken.
Well, so I ended up getting the soap and the shampoo because I'm sick and tired of my children using my shower, okay? Because they don't dry themselves
off.
So
what do you think the soap and shampoo is going to do?
Well, so my daughter, she's like, well, yeah, but you have all the good soap and shampoo.
So you got her good.
So I'm like, you know what? I got all the same stuff that's in our shower, and then I put it in their shower. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And did you catch crap for that?
Yeah, just like a little bit. Like, well, we already have this. I'm like, I know. But we're going to run out at some point.
Okay. Here's more adulting things that I love this text. It says grocery shopping was the first thing that made me feel like an adult in college, and it still does, and I'm 37 years old. So they feel like an adult when they go grocery shopping.
I was grocery shopping yesterday. When I felt the most adult is when I actually would commit to writing down a list.
Okay. All right.
And not just go in. And, and as with Casey, I'd come out with 44 pounds of s'mores.
Right. Here you go. Here's one on having an adult wardrobe. And they categorize this as an adult fail. This particular person says, I own one suit, but two onesies. Adulting fail.
That's good.
Here's a couple of them on Netflix. It says, when you're an independent woman, but you also have to ask your mom for her Netflix password because you're on a budget and you're in your 20s. And then another one says, I feel like I've finally gotten to the next level in my life. I have my own Netflix login and password. Hashtag adulting. How about on having a chore day? And this is adulting is hard is a hashtag. I can't wait for a Saturday morning that doesn't involve cleaning or just making noises. This one says 90% of an adult is making odd noises whenever you do anything, as if it's taxing and tiring, even if it's something as simple as picking up a pen. Here you go. I love this one. Okay. This made me feel like an adult.
Yeah, I want to hear your stuff. Let's see if it matches mine.
This one says, yesterday, we got a vacuum cleaner, and we felt so adult. But then we got home and realized that it's a steam cleaner and not a vacuum.
No, if you have rugs, you can use it. Or even your furniture.
Casey's theory.
Exactly.
We're going to need it eventually.
Exactly.
Right? And why are we not going to need a jet engine?
Why? All right. Not why, but are you guys... Are you guys okay with the term adulting, or is that getting old to you?
Listen, it perfectly describes this, so it's applicable. Yeah. I see it used a lot.
Yeah.
But in this case, it makes sense.
I haven't seen it used a lot. Is it used a lot?
It's used a lot.
It's used a lot on social media.
Along these lines. I think it's funny.
Here's one. Finally scheduling something on your own. It says, made my first dentist appointment on my own today. Also need to call back tomorrow because I'm actually not available that day.
I have no teeth.
No, I know people, though, who had their... Because, you know, you're always used to your parents scheduling your appointments, but that have gone, like, into their 20s where their mom was still scheduling their dentist appointment.
I didn't believe it. I was probably that way.
We had the... By hook or crook, my dad... My mom passed away when I was 20, 21.
So you had no choice.
So my dad, you know, and then for work, he'd been commuting to Dallas where the company was. So he said, guys, you know, you'll understand if I move closer to, if you want to come, you can. Like, we didn't want to go, at least my younger brother and I. And so that meant we had to do all the stuff, you know.
You know, there's a few people texting in and saying scheduling doctor's appointments and things like that were the first thing that made them feel like an adult. Here's one. It says, high school did not teach me how to adult. I did not learn how to balance a checkbook. I did not learn how about a mortgage or the importance of your credit score. But I will never forget that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
It's true, man. Do you remember the movie To Sir With Love?
I didn't see it.
Okay, so Sidney Poitier is this teacher who comes into this school in a tough part of London, and the kids are, you know, they're not learning. He says, if you spend time with that stuff, you know, they've got to learn life skills. So they do learn that. They do learn all that stuff.
I wish I would have taken those elective classes in school, those, you know, home ec for lack of a better term. I don't know what they call them now, but you know, life skills, essentially, would have been nice.
All right, so I was, I admit it, I was too pampered as a child, teenager, and young adult. And so as a result, I have a harder time actually being a parent because it's like, you didn't do it this way. Like, your mommy did your laundry for you until you were 20-some years old.
Is that your mom lives in your house?
Yeah. She doesn't do my laundry anymore.
Okay, all right.
But she did make me a grilled cheese yesterday.
I think my mom...
She did make you a grilled cheese yesterday.
Hey, but, you know, listen, it was a sweet thing. I was walking the dog.
You're not going to say no to a grilled cheese? You kidding me?
I was walking the dog. I came back, and she's waiting in the driveway for me. She goes, hey, I was going to go make a grilled cheese. And I said, yes, I would love one.
Look what I have here on the plate. It's a grilled cheese sandwich.
Did she cut it diagonally?
No.
Oh, trimmed across the top.
Dude, I almost...
Did she cut it at all?
She did.
Hush, little baby, don't you cry.
Got a monster.
But I did. I looked at the plate. I'm like, who cuts the... Who cuts a sandwich
like that?
I mean, at least she cut it horizontal and not vertical, because that was like... Complete psychopath.
Right? I'm going to shut off your electricity.
You got to move out.
I'm going to teach you a lesson.
I think that my mom does my youngest brother's laundry still.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah. Does he still live there? He still lives there. Yeah. He just got engaged, so he'll be moving out soon. But I'm pretty sure that she does his laundry.
The best part about when my mother-in-law visits is she goes right into the laundry room
and does the mound.
She sniffs my underwear. No.
Does your wife mind?
He's all man.
Are you kidding me? No, not at all. See, she goes to town and gets it all done, and it's wonderful.
My wife does not want my mom doing any of our chores. Okay. You know, but
well, that's
I
nice.
So, that, but my mom will do the dishes, and I walk in, and she's like,
Punch her. Well, that's good. She also she wants to help fight her your mom's natural inclination to want to help, and she's not there to be a maid.
Just tell your mom every time that she does a chore, you'll beat the dog.
Oh,
there you go. And then she'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And you have two dogs.
Let me go to I'm going to go to Jenna. Hey, Jenna. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Jenna?
So I actually work at a dentist's office, and we have a 52-year-old patient whose mom pays his bill, makes his appointments, comes in with him, and actually goes back into the room with him while he gets his work done.
Jenna, does he have all of his mental faculties, or?
I think drugs were a big factor in his life.
Okay.
Growing up. but as far as, like, day-to-day, he can hold a conversation, like, he can drive. I mean, oh. But...
A go-kart.
Yeah, if you can drive, you can get yourself there.
Yeah, you can. Interesting. Yeah. All right, thank you, Jenna. Appreciate that.
So you were talking about the sensation of achievement, Preston, after something, you know, again, like getting your taxes done or signing off on official documents,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All those things like, look what I just did. I'm an adult.
Yeah. Some of these are adulting fails, like this one says, I've been buying and using fabric softener as laundry detergent for 8 months now. Says, hey, Mom, prep my own room. I'm coming back.
All right, so that's the liquid stuff that you can also put into the wash.
You add it.
No, okay.
Yeah, it's added to it. Yeah,
so he's not putting a dryer sheet into the...
No. He's using the liquid fabric softener.
Yeah, the snuggle.
Here's another one on doing laundry. It says, I just hand washed and blow dried my panties because I haven't been doing laundry for weeks.
Oh, my.
So,
wow.
So using a blow dryer to dry their hand washed panties. That's an adult fail. Most of these are adult fails.
When you're in college, though, a lot of this, or you're just out of college, that's when you're going to make a lot of these, you know,
fails. Well, but I had friends that just would not do laundry while in school, Steve, and they would bring home mountains for their mom to do.
Here's one on keeping the house clean. This one says, I'm 34 years old. And my mother often cleans my house because I can't do it to her standards.
Oh.
That's Kathy with her children later on down the road.
Yeah, I might do that. I know a bunch of my friends, when their mothers come over, they will clean their house and, you know, they don't care because it's helping them out.
Sure, sure. But, it's a little bit of a slap in the face, though, right?
Well, No.
If your mom came over and started cleaning something that...
I would be 100% okay with it. I'd be like, go right ahead.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
But if it's not to your standards.
She doesn't because she's too busy with Christopher's laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, anybody who wants to do laundry at my house is welcome to come over and do it.
Yeah.
No, I told you guys, I think I completely screwed myself as a kid because my parents did everything for us and we didn't help with anything. So now that we're adults and we have to do it, they're like, okay, you know, wipe their hands of it and they don't help out.
Their time's over.
I feel a little guilty. This is probably sad when I ask my kids to do chores.
Yeah.
Because I put myself in their place and I'm like, I didn't like doing chores when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I see a mound of dishes in the sink and I'm like, all right, guys, got to do the dishwasher, you know, the dishes. I'm like, I'm driving it too hard.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah.
Does your wife
Now, I make them do it anyway because I think it's something they need to know how to do on their own. Plus, when they move out, you got to do your damn dishes. You got to take out the trash. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
You're trying to help them because you know what you dealt with not knowing how to do this stuff.
But I do feel a little bad about making them do it.
The dishwasher growing up is something that we would do on a fairly regular basis. The only thing I really had a hard time doing was putting the silverware away because it
made your fingers.
My blood turns cold.
From that sound. I got you. Okay, yeah.
But our dishwasher, did anybody else have this? It was not in the, it was on wheels.
Under a cabinet
and
or anything?
Unwheel it and then hook it up to the sink.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That used to be fairly common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had an old house, you know. Yeah, my parents got their kitchen redone at some point and had the fancy dishwasher, so it was in the kitchen.
Mm. All right, here are a few more adulting fails. This one says, couldn't figure out, this is about cooking, couldn't figure out why it was so hot in my apartment, and I realized I left the oven on.
Oh, jeez.
Adulting fail. Here's another one. I tried to cook
I tried to cook a roast in the crock pot overnight. I woke up at 6 this morning to go check it. It hadn't cooked at all, and I thought maybe my crock pot wasn't working. But then I realized I accidentally plugged in the blender instead of the crock pot. So this thing sat out raw all night long. I'm going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hi. I'm a 30-year-old that has my parents still do my laundry, but I kind of trade that with my parents.
Okay, what's your trade?
I'll cut their lawn during the summer, and I'm an IT guy, so I have them, well, I'll fix all their IT problems, so whenever they're having a phone problem or a computer problem, I'll fix that.
All right, so during the summer, you're doing light gardening and mowing the lawn, and how often do they have IT issues?
Probably once every other week.
Okay, so then that kind of works out then, I guess. And that sort of, is that an unspoken rule?
I at least with my family. My sisters don't really approve of me doing that.
I'm okay with that. If you're trading services, yeah. It's a barter. You know, it's. I wouldn't feel too bad about that, Matt. But do you know how to do your laundry?
Yeah, I've done my laundry in the past.
Okay.
And, you know, I take my shirts out to, like, dry cleaners and stuff like that.
If you didn't know how to do your laundry, I mean, other than taking it to the dry cleaners, I mean, actually doing it on your own, then I'd
folding
say,
is the worst.
If the laundry is not up to your standards, though, don't cut the lawn fully.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just, you know, leave big patches.
Side note, every time I go to my parents' house or have a conversation with my parents or text with my parents, I am required to help them with some tech issue. I think that there should be some version of the Geek Squad for adults, for seniors, because my parents...
I know one.
Yeah?
Me.
Well, then I'm going to give my dad your number, Steve, and you will regret saying that.
I'll tell you what has been a godsend, Nick, is FaceTime. So, you know,
okay.
Instead of show me.
You know what?
Show me the thing.
And something I learned here that Preston pointed out to me, everything's on YouTube. I keep reminding my father, check YouTube. You can figure out how to do it there.
Here's, speaking of FaceTime, here's the other way around. This one says, just got off FaceTime with my mom to ask how to sort my clothes for laundry.
Socks with socks, shirts with shirts.
Yeah. How to sort my clothes for laundry. I have completely no idea how to do that. And also colors, if you want to do, you know, darks and lights.
Just chuck them all in at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Right?
No.
If you just use some OxyClean and you cook it.
Hey, don't open the oven. I'm still cooking some shirts.
And you clean it on hot, right?
Oh man.
And your wife has issues with you. How well you're at home cooking your laundry?
I do my own laundry, and I was just so tired of like socks going missing and all of that sort
of
stuff.
They still go missing, right?
Yeah. You know why? Because all of my stuff is like nice and orderly. So my wife knows where there's a fresh pair of socks. And so she'll go and grab my socks, and they end up in, like, the other laundry.
Let me ask you something, Kathy. So as I have my stuff and I have my drawers all laid out and everything, it's pretty good. As you start to go through stuff and you're pulling out shirts and things, stuff starts to get bent over a little bit, and does that drive you crazy when that happens?
Yeah, that's when you redo your closet.
I'm due for a reset day on that, because I can feel it. It annoys me when I see that.
Where do you keep your T-shirts? In a drawer or?
In the oven. In a drawer.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to show you a new way to fold them that's going to be easier for you.
Ooh, I'll take
a look at that, too. By the way, speaking of separating colors, the only time that I don't do that, Kathy, I'm good at separating, is towels. I put them all in together.
I used to separate the towels, and then Jace came along, and now I don't have time for that. But I do, of course, separate the clothing.
Yeah. Sure.
Or else you end up with pink T-shirts.
And that's why one of my favorite T-shirts of all time.
Turned pink? Oh,
no. I left it over at my friend at Danny's house, and his dad did the wash, and it freaking ran. Bastard. It had red sleeves and white, it was a baseball type shirt. And it was Animal, the drummer from Muppet Show. I loved it. And it was freaking pink after that. So I vowed
I started doing my own laundry. We were not required to when I lived at home. But my mom would turn everything pink and my dad would shrink everything. Because he would just throw everything in the dryer. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my own laundry.
So this is a workout shirt that I'm wearing. It's faded and all that stuff. I'm going to go to work. Sometimes you can show up in your workout clothes to a radio.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and I'm very upset because a hole has formed in the back of at his shirt.
Oh, man.
And it distracts me from the original hole that was there. And it's just, you know, these little things.
Hey, I'm going to teach you guys how to fold your T-shirts, and this is the best way to do it. You just put them on a hanger, one of those cool velvet hangers, and you don't even have to worry about it anymore, and then hang it up.
I hang all my T-shirts.
Yes.
Yep, hang all my T-shirts.
You get the velvet hangers either at Home Goods or TJ Maxx.
I hate the velvet hangers.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
really?
What do you use? What hangers do you use?
Just the regular plastic.
But they don't leave shoulder marks?
I don't know about
if you
that.
Have the sloped,
does this one have shoulder marks on it?
Let me see.
No.
No, it looks okay. Does it, Case?
Yeah. No.
The reason I hate the velvet ones is because they're really, they grip onto the fabric and they're hard to position on there properly, I think.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Moving on. let me go because I want to go to this call. We're talking about when you felt like an adult, and this is Eric who wants to check in. Eric, good morning, sir.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Eric. So when did you finally feel like, how old are you, by the way?
I am 46.
When did you finally feel like an adult?
I started feeling like an adult. All right, I joined the military when I was 17, right out of high school.
Wow.
Did I feel like an adult then? No. It wasn't until about 2.5-3 years later when I went active duty because I did reserves first. And I went up to New York. I was stationed with the 10th Mountain Division. And I got my own room and realized, hey, somebody's got to clean this room. I went to the PX, bought my first vacuum cleaner, and that's when I felt like
it. It seems like the vacuum cleaner.
I was 23, 24 years old. It wasn't joining the military because that was still, you know, you're being taken care of to an extent. But when you went on your own, especially if you didn't have a roommate, hey, you had to be up for inspections. Well, I needed a vacuum cleaner to vacuum my rug. I felt like an adult.
There you go. I think the vacuum cleaner means a lot to a lot of people. Yep. It means you're buying those things, a broom, a dustbin, you know, all that stuff.
Yep, I love it. Thanks, Eric, man.
No problem, guys. You rock. Have a good one.
Thank you.
A couple more, and then we got to take a break. Let me see here. Here's one.
What about when you get your first credit card?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big deal. Paying rent for the first time.
Yes.
That was definitely okay. I'm responsible for my own place that I'm living in now.
This is my place.
That's right.
At least I think it's my place.
You had mentioned FaceTime with your parents. This one says on knowing when to ask for help. Just got off FaceTime my mom to ask. Oh, we already did that.
Yeah.
One. Sorting laundry. On grocery shopping. A lot of people say grocery shopping.
Groceries are a big thing. Going to the supermarket, setting up a list, the whole deal.
This says, you know it's time to go grocery shopping when you start considering what stale Fritos dipped in almond butter would taste like. and that's when they finally realize they need to turn into an adult and go shopping. And then here's one that says on workplace etiquette. And I haven't read all these yet, by the way. Every time a conference call ends, I have the urge to say, love you, bye. And then I realize it's not workforce appropriate. Okay, whatever. Let's see. How about this? On a balanced breakfast, this is an adult fail. I just ate wings, pizza, tacos, and cookies for breakfast.
Now, that's common around here.
Dude, yeah. I think I'm fairly certain all the four food groups are in there. Let's check that out again.
Let me back up. Hang on a second there.
All right.
Wings.
Right.
Okay, there's protein. Protein.
Yep.
Pizza.
There's your dairy and grain.
Green?
Grain.
Oh, grain.
Yeah.
Tacos. If you get lettuce on there.
And vegetables are produce. On there.
and the salsa. Look at Jay-Z. Cookies.
That's salad right there.
It's your salad.
That's your
breakfast.
Daily sugar.
Interesting. Well, listen, keep in mind, if you are approaching adulthood, that for most of us, I don't think we ever fully feel like a full-on adult.
No, and that's the big secret that they won't tell you when you have those points where you just get down on yourself. Because how come I can't do this and everyone else can? A lot of everyone else can't and has the same issues.
That's a true. So thanks for sharing the calls and the texts and all that stuff. We got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and the bizarre file awaits. I got some stories I set aside for you. Our friends from Hand & Still Massage and Facial Spa are going to be here this morning.
Yahoo.
We're going to be massaging us and our guests, and we will give away some massages to you, some gift cards for Hand & Still. So get yourself set for that, which, by the way, is a great Valentine's Day gift. They have spa packages available. Go to handandstone.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow.
MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory
sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and J.P. Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. Mark your calendar for the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Friday, March 1st, Jack Frost, and pick up $10 lift tickets at WMMR.com until February 17th. Don't forget, our merchandise flash sale ends today at noon.
Noon!
If you want to get the Cardboard Classic hoodie or hat, then you need to do that now. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. A University of North Carolina at Greensboro student found a man in her clothes going through her closet in an apartment just steps away from the college.
In wearing?
What's that?
You said in her clothes? Wearing them?
Yeah,
or?
Man in her clothes. Huh. Yeah, wearing them, going through her closet. She said, I've been having pieces of clothes missing, like shirts and pants, said Maddie, a junior at the college.
Does this make me look a little hippie?
Items were disappearing and handprints were left behind on the bathroom wall.
Oh, man.
And it wasn't until Saturday that she uncovered a mystery that she and her roommates thought was a ghost. She said, I just heard rattling in my closet. It sounded like a raccoon in my closet. And I'm like, who's there? And then somebody answers me and he says, oh, my name's Drew.
Hi, Drew. Could you take my shirt off?
She said, I opened the door and he's in there wearing all of my clothes, my socks, my shoes. A book bag full of my clothes. Police said that that was 30-year-old Andrew Swafford. He appeared in court on Monday. Maddie called her boyfriend as she calmly waited for help. She talked to the guy to keep him distracted. She said, he tries on my hat. He goes into the bathroom and looks in the mirror, and then he's like, you're really pretty. Can I give you a hug?
Oh, my God. She said, that's terrifying.
He never touched me. The big question the women are trying to get answered is how he got inside. They said that their doors are always locked, and they did not see any damage to them. But what really scares the women is that this is not the first time the strange men have been inside their apartment. She said there were two guys in the living room one time. That was December 19th. The women alerted the leasing office. An employee confirmed that they changed the locks at that time but did not file a police report.
Was everyone trying on her clothes?
But Maddie and her roommate say that they've had enough. She said, I can't stay here. My closet, it stinks. Every time I go in my room, there's a bad vibe and I'm just ready to leave. So
there's no way I would stay there.
Yeah, totally. A verbal argument between family members allegedly led to a man strapping on a bulletproof vest on Saturday and walking through his neighborhood firing a Beretta 9mm handgun. William Kiefer Bradley Egan was charged with two counts of aggravated assault. Deputies responded to a call about a man walking through the neighborhood wearing a bulletproof vest and carrying a handgun, which he was firing randomly. When deputies arrived, Egan fired at the deputies, aiming over the patrol cars before taking off his vest and fleeing into a nearby field where he was taken into custody without incident.
I wonder if he was trying to do like a death by cop.
He said he was, but he was wearing a bulletproof vest.
That undermines the effort.
Egan allegedly told deputies he became angry after a verbal agreement with his family and needed to take a walk to calm down. So he took his bulletproof vest and his pistol with him.
I want to apologize to my neighbors. I'm a little goofy, but I hope the block party's still on.
A family member confronted him in the front yard. The two argued until Egan fired his pistol once into the ground and then at the family member's car.
You know, next time, take the walk in the woods first.
They ended up calling the cops and hung out until they arrived. So he is... under arrest for that. Hey, Kathy, you'll love this. A courthouse in Nebraska was forced to close for the day after a lawyer showed up covered in bed bugs.
Listen
to the story about this guy. Officials met and decided to cancel the remaining cases and send everybody home until exterminators could clean out the 9,000 square foot building. The head of security.
These are my clients, the bed bugs.
The head of the security said that the lawyer was acting very nonchalant about the situation. He said, I don't even think he cared. The unidentified lawyer even shook his bedbug-infested jacket over the files of one of the prosecutors.
Oh, my God.
What a lunatic.
The courthouse reopened the following day, and workers posted a sign at the main entrance advising people to check themselves and their homes for bedbugs.
Kathy would have dropped the case right there.
Seriously.
You got it. You got it. Yeah. Get it.
Take I would have pled guilty.
Punitive damages. Yeah. You were the plaintiff.
I'm guilty.
Officials have not said that if the lawyer will be,
I'm guilty.
Will be responsible for footing the exterminator's bill or when the scheduled cases will be made up.
Oh, man.
A 48-year-old woman from Florida, no surprise, was arrested after she allegedly hit her boyfriend with a frozen pork chop.
Damn it.
Police said that Jennifer Brassard got into a verbal argument with her boyfriend.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Which quickly escalated. During the fight, she grabbed a frozen pork chop and hurled it at the unidentified man, striking him in the head.
Then she turned some sausage links into nunchucks.
The dude suffered a big cut above
his... A frozen piece of meat, yeah.
Yeah, cut above his eyebrow and fled from the home. Authorities determined that Brassard was the primary aggressor in the fight, though they did not say what the two were arguing about.
Pick your frozen cut of meat to use as a weapon.
Probably a skirt steak because it's kind of thin and it'd be like throwing a frisbee.
Okay.
And the sharp edges would spin around. So something like that, maybe.
Lamb chops have handles that you could wing it.
They do. They do.
Yeah, you could do that. Or you could just throw
pork chop sandwiches
if you wanted to, if they were frozen. The next day,
shut up, woman.
The authorities arrested Brassard and charged her with misdemeanor domestic battery. All right. This is an interesting one. Short one, but I like it. Apparently, if you feed a seal a USB stick, you might still be able to use it later. Researchers from the National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research found a USB stick in the poop collected by a vet examining a sick leopard seal in New Zealand.
Wow.
The poop was then sent to a researcher who kept it in a freezer for over a year until just 3 weeks ago when it was defrosted. The drive still works.
Look what I found.
And contains photos and videos of sea lions frolicking in the water along with the nose of a blue kayak.
So was it in fact the USB stick of the seal itself?
No, it was not.
Are family photos.
Scientists have posted a video from the stick on social media in hopes of finding its owner.
Wow.
All right, then we'll do one more and end with this one. An irate customer used jumper cables to repeatedly strike a store clerk who hit back with a broom. A 30-ish woman entered Star Deli. To the clerk, she remarked that she could sue the business if she were to slip and fall in the store, like just out of the blue.
Yes.
And she left the business and then came back to argue with the clerk. The clerk told the woman to leave because she had an attitude. She then purposefully knocked products off a store shelf before heading outside. Grabbing a broom, the clerk followed her outside and threw a snowball at her car. From inside her car, the woman grabbed a set of jumper cables and repeatedly struck the clerk in his face and neck.
This is escalating.
The clerk then used the broom to hit the
woman. Do you sell pork chops?
In self-defense. As the woman left the store and drove off, the clerk called police. A witness corroborated the clerk's account, adding that the woman seemed intoxicated, so an investigation continued.
How could you not bust out laughing?
Oh, my God.
He's got a broom. She's got jumper cables.
Yeah, I love it.
They're going at it in the park.
That is what I have for you in the bizarre file for now. Case, do you have something I can give away? I know I have these, but I'm going to do that a little bit later.
Yeah, do those.
All right, Trevor Noah is coming back to Philadelphia.
There you go.
And there is a third show, I believe, that's been added. And this is the 10 p.m. show on May 3rd, and it's at the Met. And if you would like to go, all you have to be is caller number 20, and we will give those tickets to you. 215-263-WMMR is the number. A few tickets remain for the first two shows. The third was added by popular demand. TheMetPhilly.com to get those tickets. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm dusting off a prop here in the studio.
Oh, my, see it. It came out of its case.
It did. I have my pipe. It is time for the historian.
Ladies and gentlemen, now from the Master Library high atop the South Tower of the WMMR Learning Annex.
It's...
the historian.
Thank you. I have...
we have an annex?
Sweet.
We even have towers.
I have combed the pages of history to bring you some moments that you may not have realized have happened in this crazy world that we live in. Some of them are interesting, some of them are odd, and some of them harrowing and tragic and all kinds of
things. And honestly, some of them just boring.
Yeah, that's it.
I love doing this segment. I do have things set aside from time to time. And this one I was not aware of. And I will tell you the story. Throughout the history of warfare, humans have sought to find a use for animals on the battlefield.
That is true.
This has gone back through time and been a topic of much ethical discussion, as you might imagine.
Well, for example, the battle gorillas of World War One.
Yeah, we all remember those and how poorly that turned out.
Trench warfare with gorillas turned out to be a bad idea.
Now, listen, in more modern times, there are numerous accounts of animals being used for war efforts.
Yes.
And with them even being used against terrorists. And one very curious and inspirational tale of wartime animals is the parachuting dogs of World War II.
Yeah?
The parachuting dogs.
Yes.
It was in the days leading up to the historic Normandy and D-Day invasion, a forbidding and sinister prospect that had the Allied forces scrambling for any advantage that they could possibly have. One of the crazier ideas they came up with amid all of their panicked desperation was to utilize specially trained dogs for actually parachuting down into war zones to conduct a variety of missions, such as serving as the eyes and ears for those on the ground, sniffing out enemy positions, locating mines, keeping watch, warning about enemies, and also keeping up morale. It was a silly and absurd idea at the time, but surprisingly, the British military actually pursued it with the 13th Lancashire Parachute Battalion taking the surreal idea, and they ran with it.
Yes, Officer Fider reporting for duty.
In order to recruit the dogs that would be needed, the military released an appeal to the public asking that they donate any unwanted pets that they might have. And in the face of the widespread food rations at the time, more than enough people were happy to comply.
Officer Fido, you know Officer Spot. I'm not sure I do. Let me smell your ass.
The military received a deluge of dog donations to the point that it served more as more of a shelter for those wanting to get rid of their unwanted pets rather than a recruitment.
Wow.
Which were then vetted and chosen for their suitability for wartime combat operations.
Hmm.
The War Dog Training School was then established in Hertfordshire in 1941, and training began in earnest. The dogs were methodically trained to do things such as identify minefields, detect the smell of gunpowder or explosives, locate booby traps, follow the troops, and most importantly, to ignore loud noises. This was seen as the utmost importance because a bunch of freaked out dogs in war zones running around in all directions was useless. So to this end, the dogs were acclimated to the noise throughout a months-long regimen that included them being sat within a noisy transport aircraft for hours on end. They were also trained to get used to the sound of gunfire as well as the scents of the battlefield.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. After that, they were put through actual parachute training. They strapped parachutes and dropped from planes, something they seemed to be rather adept at, believe it or not. Their slim bodies dealing well with the drag of the parachutes, which had been designed for bicycles. After being denied food or water for a time, they would drop out with a handler carrying a piece of meat with them to keep the dogs alert and under control. One trainer named Lance Corporal Ken Bailey has written much about the program in his notebooks and chronicles some of the standout dogs of the training operation. He writes of one such jump with a female, how do you pronounce this dog? A-L-S-A-T-I-A-N?
Alsatian.
Alsatian.
It's an area in between Germany and France.
Okay.
It was also a dance club a few years ago.
That was Pulsation.
I'm sorry.
Alsatian named Renee, of which he said, after my chute developed, I turned to face the line of flight. The dog was 30 yards away and slightly above. The chute had opened and was oscillating slightly. Renee looked somewhat bewildered, but she showed no sign of fear. I called out, and she immediately turned in my direction and wagged her tail vigorously.
Isn't that amazing?
All right, so if they're jumping out with the dogs, why not just strap the dogs to the person?
Well, they didn't do that.
Yeah. No, the dogs were, as you can see in a picture here, this dog is jumping independent.
Yeah, they had their own chute.
Yeah.
The dog touched down 80 feet before I landed. She was completely relaxed, making no attempt to anticipate or resist the landing, rolled over once, scrambled to her feet, and stood looking around. I landed 40 feet from her and immediately ran to her, released her, and gave her the feed. So it was cool. The training method seemed to work for many of the dogs involved. But the real test of their mettle and courage was just around the corner with the actual arrival of D-Day.
Yes.
The training was apparently successful. The dogs lined up, ready to face the looming threat on the horizon. And when their action finally came, there were to be some rather inspirational stories to be gleaned from their forays into the battlefield.
So the main thrust of what they were charged with doing was what exactly?
Well, it was several things. Like okay, I said, yeah, like you said, sniffing out mines.
Was there a main focus or all of those equally?
I think each one was probably trained
for different things.
So on June 5th, 1944, the battalion bands droned on through the skies toward an uncertain future and an enemy that would love nothing more than see them all dead. It was an uncertain time that would later turn out to be one of the bloodiest engagements of the entire war. But here and now, in these planes, the dogs were calm and doing exactly as their training had taught them. On this day, each plane had been loaded with 20 paratroopers and one paradog, as the animals had been come to known as.
Paradogs. I love that name.
And when they were finally dropped amidst exploding artillery in the air, the results would be mixed.
This is probably a doctored photo here, Preston.
Yeah, he looks. This dog looks a little excited. He's got a gun
on his back and a helmet.
His legs up. One of the success stories.
This is not an accurate photo.
One of the success stories of the final operation was a German Shepherd Collie mix by the name of Bing.
Bing.
Bing. Also called Brian, but his name was
Bing.
Yes. The dog had been donated to the war effort by a woman named Betty Fetch, and he had been trained as best as they could. As the plane bore down over the enemy territory and the ruckus began, Bing got scared and moved to hide in the back of the plane, but was forced into action by his handler, who actually threw the dog out of the plane.
Whoa.
But the dog would float down to have his parachute become entangled within a tree, after which he was actually injured by incoming German artillery fire. Aww. But eventually got down to the ground, where he displayed exceptional skill in pointing out enemy mines and saving Allied lives.
He eventually killed Hitler, didn't he?
And he would go on to be dropped once again into enemy territory to check a house that was thought to harbor enemy troops, properly alerting his handlers to the threat. Now, Bing would later be awarded, and I kid you not, the Dickin Medal.
The Dickin Medal.
Yep, okay. That's what it's called. The Dickin Medal is the highest award.
Shall I put your dick in?
It is the highest award a military animal can achieve.
Absolutely.
That should have been. I write with great news. This afternoon I was awarded a dickin.
I just think of my dog.
Come again?
A dickin.
Come again?
A dickin.
I just think of my dog. When I take him for a walk, he gets freaked out by like a plastic bag. You know, like we'll be walking and something will rustle and he freaks out. You know, and then these ones are being dropped.
They're on the battlefield. Yeah. Where it'll disorient the most battle-ready human.
Yeah.
And they're left to do this. It's an amazing thing.
Upon his death in 1955, he would be buried within a special cemetery near London, and a life-size sculpture of him was erected within the Parachute Regiment, an Airborne Forces Museum at Duxford.
Where shall we put his dick in?
Two other paradogs on the mission named Monty and the aforementioned Renee were not so lucky.
Oh.
And although they proved their usefulness, they would not return to accept the accolades that Bing had. More casualties in a war permeated by many.
They were killed in action?
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
But the adventures of...
The Nazis had a lion squad.
Why didn't we think of that?
Why? We went with dogs.
Did they just unleash all the lions at once?
But then the French fought back with the elephant squad.
Okay.
Mind you, the country just went completely broke with those parachutes.
The adventures of Bing the Paradog have been chronicled in the book The Amazing Adventures of Bing the Parachuting Dog.
Bing, bing, bong, bong.
And there is further information on World War II's paradogs in a book by Andrew Woolhouse entitled 13, Lucky for Some, The History of the 13th Lancashire Parachute Battalion.
Now, just at the point of the elephant program, the Mussolini obviously was aligned with Hitler and the fascists of Italy. They employed their mouse program.
Yes.
He was always thinking.
Thinking ahead, which scared the elephants.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we brought in the cats.
We brought in cats and then again back to the dogs.
Yep, it all came back around.
So I want you to reactivate the lion program.
I thought that was a little known page out of history.
It is very, very cool.
That you would find interesting.
And lest we forget the contributions of Bing, who single-handedly reversed the course of the war.
All right, I have to
single-pawedly
tug on my pipe for a moment here, because I have another story for you.
Ooh.
I'll tug on your pipe.
Why did I just say that?
It was the offer that Preston will remember forever.
Nick, this morning on the show, I know you're joking, but
what are you doing tonight?
You said you tug on my pipe. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the story of Edith Garrod.
Was she a dog?
No. Oh. She was a small woman, though. She was 4'11" in height, just like Marissa. She appeared no match for the officers of the Metropolitan Police, required to be at least 5'10" tall at that time. And I'll get into the details of this. But she had a secret weapon. In the run-up to World War I, Garrod became a jiu-jitsu instructor to the Women's Social and Political Union, the WSPU, better known as the Suffragettes, taking part in an increasingly violent campaign for votes for women. And they called it Suffragitsu.
Suffragitsu. I love it.
I kid you not. This is a God's honest truth. And this, what I didn't know about the Suffragettes and their movement in England, when we were in London, my wife and I took a guided tour.
Yes.
And our tour guide took us by a, you know, a series of statues. And one of them, I'm not sure who from the Suffragette movement it was, but he told us who she was. And he started to tell us about how physical that got and how violent it got
violent
they were as well. The Suffragettes weren't messing around. They weren't just slinging words around.
Yes.
They were. It got bloody. So this woman learned jiu-jitsu, and she became the jiu-jitsu instructor for the Suffragettes, taking part in an increasingly violent campaign for votes for women. Sick of the lack of progress, they resorted to civil disobedience, marches, and illegal activities, including assault and arson.
Mm.
The struggle in the years before the war became increasingly bitter. Women were arrested, and when they went on hunger strike, they were force-fed using rubber tubes.
So the women in the suffragette movement in England were resorting to arson?
Yeah, dude. I mean, but they weren't getting anywhere. I mean, if you think about how bizarre it is that women weren't allowed to have a say.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous, and they weren't having
it. Then again, they're dogs falling from the sky.
Come on.
Yeah.
While out on marches, many complained of being manhandled and knocked to the ground. Things took a darker turn after Black Friday on the 18th of November, 1910. A group of around 300 suffragettes met a wall of policemen outside of Parliament. Heavily outnumbered, the women were assaulted by both police and male vigilantes in the crowd. Many sustained serious injuries, and two women died as a result.
That's horrible.
More than 100 suffragettes were arrested. A lot said that they had been groped by the police and male bystanders, according to Elizabeth Crawford, an author of a book called The Women's Suffrage Movement, a reference guide. After that point, women didn't go to these demonstrations unprepared. Some started putting cardboard over their ribs for protection. But Garrod was already teaching the suffragettes to fight back. Her chosen method was the ancient Japanese martial art of jiu-jitsu, and it emphasized using the attacker's force against them, channeling their momentum and targeting their pressure points. The first connection between the suffragettes and jiu-jitsu was made at a WSPU meeting. Garrod and her husband, William, who ran a martial arts school in London's Golden Square together, had been booked to attend, but William was ill, so she went alone. Edith normally did the demonstrating while William did the speaking. And the story goes that the leader of the WSPU, Emmeline Pankhurst, encouraged Edith to do the talking for once, which she did. She began teaching some of the suffragettes. At that time, it was more about defending themselves against angry hecklers in the audience who got on stage rather than police. There had been several attempted assaults. By about 1910, she was regularly running suffragette-only classes and had written for the WSPU's newspaper, Votes for Women. And her article stressed the suitability of jiu-jitsu for the situation in which the WSPU found itself, that is, having to deal with a larger, more powerful force in the shape of the police and the government.
What a badass.
Right? The press noticed, and Health and Strength magazine.
Well, they have Heath bars over there.
I mean, they're so good. All that toffee in there. No, but Health
and wonderful.
Health and Strength magazine printed a satirical article called "Jiu-Jitsu Suffragettes." Punch magazine showed a cartoon of Garrod standing alone against several policemen entitled "The Suffragette That Knew Jiu-Jitsu." The term suffragitsu soon came into common.
Suffragitsu.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? So they wouldn't have expected in those days that women could respond physically to that kind of action. let alone put up effective resistance, said Martin Dixon, chairman for the British Jiu-Jitsu Association. Said it was an ideal way for them to handle being grabbed while in a crowd situation. And the Pankhursts agreed and encouraged learn the martial art. The police know jiu-jitsu. I advise you learn jiu-jitsu. Women should practice it as well as men, said Sylvia Pankhurst, daughter of Emmeline, in a 1913 speech.
They eventually incorporated dogs for jiu-jitsu. Tying back to your first story, which was martial arts dogs dropped from the sky on to assist suffered jiu-jitsu jets.
Yeah. So Gary did not just teach them physical skills. They also had to learn to trick their opponents. In 1914, Emmeline Pankhurst gave a speech from a balcony in Camden Square. When she emerged from the house in a veil, escorted by members of the bodyguard, the police swooped in. Despite a fierce fight, she was knocked to the ground and dragged away unconscious. So they were trying to snag her. But when the police triumphantly unveiled her, they realized she was a decoy. The real Pankhurst had been smuggled out in the commotion.
Was she a wooden version?
No, it was just somebody else.
Oh, somebody else got their ass kicked.
The emphasis on skill to defeat and outwit a larger opponent was what first impressed Garrett about jiu-jitsu. She came across it when her husband, William, attended a martial arts exhibition in 1899. Isn't
that
wild?
I mean, obviously, these disciplines are old, but to think about that time, about women of that time in that kind of garb, like in Wonder Woman when she's saying, how do you fight in this?
Right.
Yeah, you know?
Exactly. And how jiu-jitsu has come into its own most recently through MMA, and now it's, you know, as ubiquitous as you can get. But back then, I mean, I would imagine it was a very exotic art form that nobody really knew about, at least in the Western world.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of
interesting. That is kind of cool.
So suffragitsu.
Suffragitsu and battle dogs.
Yeah.
What else from the historian? Was that it?
No. Actually, I have tons of this. I could go on.
What's our time limit?
I think we got time for one more.
We got time for one more. This one is out of London as well.
More from London, which is in England.
And this is a bit of a tragedy, actually.
Oh. It's why are you ending on a sad one?
The Regent's Park Skating Tragedy of 1867.
The Regent's Park Skating Tragedy of 1867.
On 16 January 1867.
In the year of our Lord.
Regent's Park in London was witness to the worst ice skating tragedy in British history.
Oh, you got to figure they were only skating on
gravel.
No, bodies of water, and not, they didn't have skating rinks at this point. No, I can see where this one's going.
In the Luton Times and Advisor, the following is as described. It said, at about 4:15, when a large number of persons were skating and sliding on the western side of the lake upon an area of water probably of 6 acres, the ice suddenly and without the least warning gave way and broke into thousands of pieces. And from 1 to 200 persons were immersed.
Wow. At
the, like, over, like, 200 people went in the water at
did
the same time.
Did 1 to 200 people die?
I'm not sure how many people, Steve. It probably says here in this. I've got several different articles.
I know that the bodies were reclaimed vis-a-vis scuba dogs.
It says this. No, actually, that many people didn't die. This dreadful skating accident at Regent's Park, which saw 41 people lose their lives from all walks of life, is best described by those who experienced it themselves. One of the survivors was a Mr. Dunton, who narrates his experience in the Oxford Chronicle. He was on the lake with his two children. He said, without a second's warning, the ice seemed to glide from under us, leaving us in water about 5 feet deep. He goes on to describe the harrowing experience in the following terms. He said, such a sight I hope to never see again. Quite 150 persons were struggling for life. Heads and arms were to be seen all around amongst the broken masses of ice. 2 yards from me, a little boy was drowning. I stood in this position for nearly half an hour, sinking down in the mud deeper every minute until the water reached my chin. I held my children as high as possible above water until I felt my legs being cramped with the cold. I said to my eldest, is there any help coming, Fred? Wave my walking stick, for I am sinking down in the mud.
Even while they're panicking, they have wonderful English.
You're right.
I fear I'm dying. Please alert people on the perimeter to my situation. Thank you ever so. I can feel my chest collapsing as the ice crushes my ribs thusly. The pain is excruciating, and I fear I'm going to faint quite soon. Could you please alert our next of kin and tell them that I love them all and wish them the best?
He said, presently the boy said,
gurgle, gurgle, ah.
I'm assuming this guy died, or
he actually was able to put his kid down below and step on him to crawl out of the ice.
He's telling the story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, they're so resilient.
I thought this was a stiff upper lip,
life after death.
Okay.
You thought this was a reenactment?
I thought it was a third person accounting. So maybe he didn't actually say it like that. He was actually just, in the recounting of the story, his English was a little bit better.
Actually, there was a dog on the shore taking it all down. Okay.
Okay. I shall record this for posterity. Woof, woof, a back, back.
No, it continues by saying, presently the boy said, Father, a man is swimming to us.
Father, as this catastrophe continues, I want to alert you to the various situations occurring amongst family members, that expressly being a chill that is permeating our flesh as a result of the cold water.
He said, and we shall be saved.
We shall be saved, son. Don't panic, son.
On looking around, I saw a brave young fellow plunging through the ice towards me. The newspapers of the Victorian...
Do you have one of those delicious Heath bars? That was so famous for.
The newspaper of the...
Father, your levity brings me warmth inside.
Newspapers of the Victorian era did not shy away from the ghastly and gory details. The Oxford Chronicle in the Reading Gazette offering graphic description of the corpses subsequently recovered from the lake. It said their faces being of purple tint with intense congestion.
If I may, Preston, the water, it was 5 feet deep.
And there was froth about the teeth, the lips being widely separated. Well,
it made it unpleasant to make out with those corpses.
Well, it was a very large area, and maybe where that guy was standing was 5 feet, but he said he kept sinking down into the mud.
It's also frigid water. Yeah, you're going to hypothermia set in quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so growing up, did you guys have a lake or any sort of body of water that people would go?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there were a couple of places, and I never felt comfortable going far from the shoreline.
Yeah, it had to be a hard freeze, no question, for over several days, and then you had to get out and test it a little bit. But we used to play hockey. We used to play pond hockey. It was a lot of fun.
You just had a story here locally, a kid's basketball.
I know, it was terrible.
On the ice.
Mm-hmm. Five-year-old kid.
Went on the ice, and that's it. I can get out on that. Never trust the ice. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Preston. It has to be a super hard cold spell
for like a week.
Yes,
you know.
Yep. Another part of the article said the operation to retrieve the body saw fishermen from Q dragging their nets along the bottom of the lake, and also divers
dragging their what?
Kew.
Okay,
they were from Q.
Q Gardens.
Also divers in the latest equipment scouring the water. They later likened the experience to being in a dark room. There was some debate.
This is like a dark room devoid of light.
As to the cause of the accident, one witness, a medical student named Caleb, blamed it upon ice men breaking up the ice near the edges of the lake, a practice which was intended to prevent people from accessing the islands.
Okay, so they were trying to stop them from doing that.
However, the inquest held at the Marylebone Workhouse, Iceman Alfred Ward refuted this claim, blaming the sun, men playing hockey on the lake, and people jumping on and off the ice. Whatever the cause, results were truly tragic.
My name is Iceman, and this is my associate Maverick.
With a large and indiscriminate loss of life.
I will be your barrister any time, Maverick.
But they said that it was...
Most chilly.
Whatever the cause is...
this was what I would deem unpleasant.
What emerges from the newspapers of this time is a human impact of this tragedy, largely forgotten now over 150 years later. So,
but not by the historian.
That is correct. No. So I bring you these stories from time to time. Just to make you aware of things that might be noteworthy.
And now we leave the Master Library high atop the South Tower of the WMMR Learning Annex. Whence we shall return again to learn about flying dogs and broken ice.
Yes.
I cannot project. This has been The Historian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
I would like to give away a massagee. Our friends from Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa are here. And
none better.
Kasia is doing the work out in our green room, and we've had some nice massage moments so far in this shiatsu chair.
Shiatsu.
But you can get the full-on hookup deal at Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. I will give away a free massage or facial gift card to caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. Buy a Valentine's Day Hand and Stone Massage package, like their Serenity package, which is a 50-minute massage and 50-minute signature facial, and you receive a free massage or facial gift card as well. So, or you can save $10 on spa gift card purchases at guest pricing. So check them out at handandstone.com. But call at 14. We're going to set you up. Coming back in a moment, and our friend Bill Bellamy is stopping by.
Nice.
We'll talk with him in a few. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Red, red, red. Is she seeing red? Well, she wants to this Valentine's Day. Give her one of Steven Singer's famous Valentine's Day red 24-karat gold gem roses starting at only $59 with free shipping. A gift that lasts a lifetime. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks, Kath. A reminder, because I don't want you to miss this, the Cardboard Classic is coming up March 1st. But while you may be in the midst of preparation for your sled now, or yes, you're just going to come and hang out and watch, we do have a flash sale that ends today for Cardboard Classic merchandise, and the sale wraps up at noon. So we're running out of time on this. There's a brand new Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic winter hat and hoodie that you can buy at the MMR Rock Shop.
I wore that hat apart last year, and I think this is actually a better design this year. So after the show ends, I got to jump right on an order.
Yeah, this one's more of a beanie. Last year was, I guess, what you would call a toque more because it had a little fuzzy ball on the top. So a little different look, darker colors, really cool. So get those. You can click the shop button at WMMR.com and get those. So I'm excited about the Camp Out for Hunger. I'll be excited about that later. Cardboard Classic first, folks. And also, Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa are here. I have another gift card that I can give away now for a free massage or facial. And we'll take caller number 22.
The number of massage.
And I will set you up with that. 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget that you can visit handandstone.com. They have great Valentine's Day spa packages that you can give away. There's over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and over 400 locations nationwide. So you can send those out to about anybody. So Bill Bellamy on his way. But what we do have here now, we talked about this. I think it's the same segment or the same time of day a few days ago.
It was Nick, the connoisseur who talked about it.
Nick had stumbled across this product called souffle pancakes.
Yeah.
Which sounded fantastic.
Delightful.
So I got a text from a friend who happens to own a bakery, a pastry shop, actually. Well, pastries and cakes and all kinds of great stuff. And she's here. We're going to put her on the mic. Did you know you were going on the air? So this is Colleen Kriebel, everybody.
Colleen Kriebel.
Hi.
Hey. From Kriebel's. And Colleen actually did the wedding cakes for our wedding at the Camp Out for Hunger.
The wonderful cupcakes.
And so Colleen, she's like, I'll try making them if you want. So did you find a recipe or what'd you do?
Yeah, I tried a bunch of recipes that I found online and they were all kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I kind of went back to the basics. It's just my great-grandmother's pancake recipe and folded in the egg whites. You know, made a tight like egg white meringue, folded it in and they're... Dig in.
Nice. So these are, right now, looking at this, this looks like a very, very light and airy
pancake.
Oh, it's Steve, very tall.
Steve, look at the shape of Kathy's.
I got a heart.
Kathy got a heart.
It looks like a little heart. Yeah. But not anatomically correct, the way we fancifully think of a heart.
All right, you guys want to try it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's try it.
Okay, I'm just going to have a little bite of this.
Oh, my God.
What?
But just when we try food on the air, everyone's
Bill loves
humming
it.
And chewing.
So people can taste it.
Oh, my God. That's really good.
That's awesome.
It's just, it's basically a thicker pancake. Fluffier. A thicker, fluffier pancake. So that.
And veiny.
No,
it's, I like it. It's
veiny and hairy pancake.
Why does it have to go that way?
It feels, actually, I could actually get away with this and not feel that I'm. Regular pancakes, just you're eating cake. You're eating cake for breakfast. I could see this. This to me is training food.
I love it. I love it. That's great. Okay, I would order that. No question. You guys like it, Nick? You're the eater around here.
I am the eater. Uh-huh. You're the noticer and the historian.
Right.
I'm the eater.
No, the jester.
It's delicious.
Yeah. I tell you what. So, how much this? What I'm currently eating here? How much? How many pancakes would that be if you didn't fold it over and?
Probably just one standard 3.5-inch pancake.
Okay. All right.
Because it would be so much lower. Yeah.
Do you think you'll add them to the menu?
No.
No, just a novelty.
I did this just for you guys.
Oh, well, thank you.
By the way, Colleen, what show on Food Network were you on?
I was on Cake Wars, the Addams Family episode.
Oh, okay.
This is more of a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah,
like you
exactly.
You could whip together pancakes in just a couple of minutes.
Exactly.
This took how long?
A couple more minutes.
Okay.
but this is more hype. This is to throw the word souffle in there.
Yeah, to
make it, ooh, I got to try that.
It's healthier because it has more egg whites or whites or something.
Right. Do you think in addition that you could, is there stuff to jazz it up that you might do?
If you tasted any cinnamon, I did throw a little cinnamon in there. But,
I did.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it crazy? I love just actual plain waffles and pancakes. No syrup, no nothing. I love the it prepared.
Boring.
Yeah,
those are okay, but I think when you really put some sweetness into it, that's when you hit the home run.
Yeah,
but,
so I make pancakes from scratch at home. They're delicious. I put my recipe in the cookbook for the Camp Out for Hunger. Really, the only difference is I use... cake flour, like enriched cake flour, which from what I understand is just like regular flour. It's just like fluffed up somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
A little different science to it.
Okay. All right.
Just a little different.
And you brought other stuff too, right?
Yeah. You brought, what was it, slutty brownies?
There's slutty brownies out there named by Ashley Gallo. She named that.
Did she?
Oh, Ashley. Oh, by the way, Ashley is next door to Creebles.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, right next door to Creebles.
She came up with the name of the slutty. Slutty brownie.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I thought you would like it. You like chocolate, right?
Did you bring
it? I love sluts.
You
know,
and you're a slut.
They're out there. You got to bring them in.
Where's Creebles? Give a plug to the bakery.
Sure. It's in Eagleville, 3140 West Ridge Pike.
Home of a fire recently in your parking lot,
which we were
wondering if you were going to be okay. You weren't affected by it, were you?
No. By the grace of God, we were spared because the smoke was blowing the other way. The water drained and the fire didn't jump over to our buildings.
That was a pretty big fire.
Huge.
It caused some damage to complete dirty whore pies, though.
By the way, my favorite thing that Colleen makes are, and you know this, the cream puffs. Oh,
they're
my
here.
God. Oh, I hate you because I'm on a diet right now.
Okay. He'll have them.
I'll have them. I'll
listen,
dive
when
in.
You cut into it, all the calories fall out anyway. Okay. It's fun.
They bleed out.
Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's perfect.
All right. Well, Colleen, do you guys have a website?
I do. It's creeblescustombakery.com.
Spell that.
K-R-I-E-B-E-L-S.
All right. Custombakery.com.
Custombakery.com.
Awesome. All right. Colleen, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yay! Colleen
Creeble. And the souffle pancakes, which we had never heard of before. I know. Bill, you want to
We would have given you some.
It looks so... What's up, baby?
Hey,
how
it's
are you?
Guys, it's Bill Bellamy. Yay!
Back with the crazy crew. Let's go.
How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Can you hear me? Hey,
yeah.
guys, you have got to see their lobby. You have got... It is so many treats. Like, it is like a diabetic coma out there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's like... croissants and beautiful eclairs and
brownies
and brownies.
And then a massage chair.
Because you're going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was the company, right from the head of the company, called and said, you have Bill Bellamy coming in. We've got to pull out all the stops.
It's nonstop out there. It looks so delicious. It's like walking through an amazing dessert that's just alive. And you can walk through and feel all the love in your body.
Wow.
Bill, you're an American. You're a walking American flag today.
Yeah, you know, this is one of my favorite sweaters. And they have biscuits.
Those are souffle pancakes.
Yeah, those are souffle pancakes.
Try one.
Okay, put one in your system.
Mm-hmm. Have a little bit.
A souffle.
Is there any syrup on it?
Yeah.
Yes, bro.
Come on, man. And butter, too.
Let me tell you something. White people could think of anything.
You know who thought of these, actually, Bill?
Who thought of this?
The Japanese.
Souffle and pancakes.
Souffle pancakes.
Shout out to my Japanese people. Way to go hard.
Mm-hmm. All right, he's going to have a bite.
It's like crazy.
Bigger, fluffier pancakes.
It's crazy. it's super crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's light.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you feel as guilty for eating a regular pancake.
Oh, I got to put this on my Instagram. This is crazy. Like, I never had a souffle pancake.
I follow you on Twitter. I don't see you doing the constant posting of food.
No, I do. I do food when I'm in cities on the weekend.
All right.
Do you need some watering like that?
No. I have one right here because you will choke. But on the weekends, because I travel, I go to such nice restaurants, and I always shout out the restaurant and stuff. And, you know, they love that because,
it's free. You're a foodie, right?
I'm a foodie.
Yeah, yeah.
This is this town has gotten so much better with restaurants over the last 10, 15 years.
Hell yeah.
It used to be you really need to go to New York for great restaurants. Not anymore.
Nah. Philly stepped their game up crazy. I've been coming here for the last, 25 years. And like you said, ever since you guys...
let me see. When you guys got, I remember like when the Sixers start making the change and y'all started getting players, I remember they were building up downtown.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was seeing all these cool little lounges and stuff. I was like, oh, Philly doing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But for the longest time, Bill, we've always had doing the show for as long as we've been doing here for decades now. We were always like the redheaded stepchild between New York and D.C. So we'd be avoided. But now people realize
Philly is real.
It's real.
It's a nice place to visit, man.
Yeah.
It's a great place to do a trip with your kids, too. Like, if you, because there's so much history here. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time I come here, I always want to run up the Rocky Stairs. I don't know why. I hear the music in my head.
Yeah.
Every time I go in that little roundabout.
Yep.
Yeah, Aiken's over.
Man, Rocky was running up there, man.
Hey, Bill, you're in town. You know, you got a show tonight, Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sixers are playing the Lakers here on Sunday.
That's right.
On Sunday afternoon. Oh, you sticking around for that?
You know what? I might do that.
I mean, LeBron.
Well, we just got smoked by 46 by the Pacers, but.
Yeah, but the Pacers are amazing. No, they're not.
No. We got till 3 o'clock today.
Yeah.
To make a decision on we getting anybody.
Yeah.
You want to hear what I think?
Yeah, please.
I got the most unbelievable, because usually there's an unbelievable situation when it comes to the Lakers. Like when they got Shaq and they got, you know, they Will Chamberlain and Kareem and Magic. There was always like this da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You want to hear what the da-da-da I think is?
Yeah.
They're going to trade Kyrie.
You think?
Wait. You ready for this?
Okay.
They're going to trade Kyrie to the Lakers.
Okay.
To make room for AD.
In Boston?
Well, listen.
All right. I need to know who this is.
Because I don't think they're going to be able to get AD without giving up.
Who's AD?
I don't know the initials.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
So Anthony Davis is the big piece right now.
So you think Dr. J is completely out?
He can't do it right now. No, his knees are not the same. So listen. Here's why I say this. Because Kyrie... They played better without Kyrie last year, went to the finals without Kyrie, right? They're still trying to figure out their chemistry. They're playing well, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, they can't get AD if they got Kyrie.
No, they can't.
Because you can't have two max players or something?
Is it a salary?
It's some kind of like stipulation.
Okay.
But if they trade Kyrie... They still going to have a great team, and they may give up maybe one guy, but they get AD. That's crazy because they still got first-round picks.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Sixers, right? I mean, over the past couple of years.
Oh, the Sixers is straight. I'm not worried about the Sixers at all. Like, y'all got everything you need. If y'all don't go to the finals, it's because you're just young and you make mistakes. But talent-wise, you're straight.
Yeah, and so that's why I think they want AD is so that they
can... Who need AD?
No, the Celtics. So that they can compete with the Sixers, because the Sixers are good now, man.
I'm not blowing smoke. The Sixers is ready to go. There's nothing else to talk about. Everybody stay healthy. Embiid, stop trying to dribble the ball, get in the paint, because he want to dribble. He want to be a guard, and he want to shoot all the time. Yeah. But he's unstoppable. He's so talented.
He's so good.
Stay in your lane.
Who's your team, by the way? Because you grew up.
You don't want to hear my team.
Well,
but I was in Jersey, right? Suck. You're Jersey, aren't
you? First of all, grew up Knicks fan.
Okay.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Giants. Horrible. So I got to have backup teams because it just don't make no sense to suffer.
Right.
You're in a bad church and then the preacher ain't preaching good.
You know, I saw on Forbes.com yesterday or this morning the number one most valued franchise in the NBA. The New York Knicks.
Still.
The worst franchise by record in the NBA, the New York Knicks.
Yes.
It's just a fault.
It's just Dolan, man.
Yeah.
He don't care. He rich as hell. And, you know, he doesn't have that kind of like Mark Cuban or what's my man from the Clippers, the owner. That kind of energy. You're passionate with the players. Mm-hmm. You're out there. You're rooting for your guys. You know, that's what they need. They need an owner like that, a guy who's just engaged. He's just rich. Like, Dolan's like, man, I'm at the game. Win or lose, I win. You feel me?
Yeah, who are you front running with then?
Well, right now, I'm watching the Lakers to see what happened. Yeah, I live in L.A.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of teams because a lot of, like, Westbrook. I love Westbrook. I love watching them play him and PG. I love them. I love watching them. I love Milwaukee. They're fun to watch. I like watching the Celtics play, too.
What about college?
college, I got to see this Duke Virginia game.
Okay,
because you know Zion is a problem.
We got Villanova right here.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. No, we're talking about Duke. We're talking about Duke because I feel like Duke is so stacked that all four of those guys could leave.
All right,
and they probably will.
They probably will. And like, probably do you will. Think Zion is going to class?
No, he no, class just, is coming to Zion.
Like, I'm just saying, like, when you know you're leaving in 4 months, do you do the term paper?
That's it.
Are you really giving me a term paper, professor? You know I'm gone, player. My name's Zion. Go on YouTube and see what it is.
It always seems that they can work, and we talk about this all the time, about how these deals get made and these things that are they're not supposed to go, court them, you know, while they're in high school. And all.
Stop.
And it's all a bunch of crap.
Stop.
Well, yeah. I found out, and I never knew this, and college basketball is a lot different than college football because it's the land of one and done. In college football, you have to stay for at least 2 years in order for you to go
is
pro.
That the rule?
That's the all rule. Right. And you're but in college, from I just heard this the other day, is that when they give you a full ride, that is a full ride for life. So even if you leave after your freshman year, you have the rest of your life to go get your degree from that college.
That's gangsta. Mm-hmm. Do they do that in basketball too?
That's what I'm saying for basketball.
Oh, and field hockey.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I always wondered about those guys, man. Like when you're all American lacrosse player, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's no after you college, you ain't got nowhere to do that.
It's hard.
It's hard.
We have a really popular lacrosse team.
Yeah,
team.
And I mean, my school had lacrosse and crew and all that. But I
what school?
I went to Rutgers.
Okay.
And so we had teams like that. And I was like, what are you doing when you Mr. Lacrosse?
Well, yeah. they're going to class.
Do they get chicks?
Yeah, they're doing the term paper.
Are the girls out on the field like, oh, my God, Chad, it's
killing it. We had a friend who had never rowed in her life, Kristen, down the hall. And she wanted to go to Temple. And she needed some assistance monetarily. She joined the crew team because they were going to give her a partial scholarship. And she had never done it before in her life.
All you got to do is get in that boat and just keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Just row your way into a scholarship.
Hey, I want to mention this before we get too far into this, but Bill is playing tonight at Punchline. Yep, tonight at 8 o'clock. And then you got shows on Friday and Saturday, two each night, 7:30 and 9:45. I don't want you to get out of here before we have a chance to talk about this, because last time we were here, you know, you're great conversationalists. We could talk to you about just about anything. But I think it was after we were done with the interview. We just started to touch on your days at MTV and the spring break events.
I can tell you so many fun things.
I can't even imagine.
Well, Bill, they're bringing a lot of that back. And I can't imagine they can bring it back the way
you
guys
can't even do it the same.
You can't.
Because, first of all, we were pre-social media. So there was a little bit of discrepancy, with your privacy. Like, you could do it more. You could have more fun and not worry about, saying or doing something that might be deemed inappropriate, because you're laughing. But it was so much fun. Like, people would try to break into Beach House.
Yeah.
We got like the city called on us because we had so many young kids in Malibu that were traveling from everywhere to get over the wall to get into the beach house.
If you don't remember, first off, it was an event.
It was an event.
If either you were going or people were going to go.
Yes.
But for people, for MTV, it was a huge ratings explosion.
It was explosive.
We would wait for the announcement about where it was going to be.
Right?
Year,
yes!
I mean, it was like, dude, did you hear?
And listen, if we did our spring break, it would be people traveling from Kentucky.
Yeah.
People traveling from D.C., Philly, New York. They're driving, like, people getting in cars and stuff. I remember just meeting so many people that got in cars. Like, we heard you guys were going to be in Panama City. We just jumped in. We're from Nashville. And we drove.
Yeah. We have nowhere to stay.
We have nowhere to stay. We're in our car, Bellamy, and we've been waiting to meet you, bro.
So what? How old are you at that point?
I'm like 24, 23.
Okay, 24. Oh, so, I mean, listen, you talk about there was a bit more discretion going on, obviously, and there was the social media made it. At least you had a little bit of a chance of some anonymity.
Yeah, you could do a lot of stuff and not, like, get in any trouble. I remember, like, we were in Panama City, and there was a club called Club La Vila.
Okay.
Right? It's right on the beach, big beach bar, like, nightclub thing, right? And we were doing the beach, we were doing the bathing suit contest. I don't know if you remember this.
It was legendary.
It was legendary, yeah, the bathing suit contest, and there were some strippers that got in and was wiping up the college girls, just mopping them up. You know, because, you know, a couple of college girls, when you're in college, you got that great college body.
Yeah.
It's like Maxim. Yeah. You know, no body fat, all natural. Nobody was getting boob jobs and stuff. They was real.
Right.
In 93. What you had, God gave it to you. Right? Yeah, yeah. And there were some pretty girls, right? Then all of a sudden, it was like these four girls that were like way over the top. They were just two floss up the booty.
Yeah,
first
yeah.
time I ever seen a thong was this time. Like, thongs weren't really big then.
No.
Thongs were like on their way up.
Yep. It seemed like something that, oh, they have those in Australia, don't they?
Right.
Yeah, like, but you didn't see it a lot.
The girls came with the bikini that was a string.
Yeah.
Do you know the one where it just goes
over
right
the
over the area, yep. over yeah, the nipple, yeah. and down deep V, and then just a little.
Yeah.
Right. The sling.
Yo, let me tell you.
But you know that's not moving.
It's, listen, it was taped, but to the side, you give a good areola shot. That's why MTV started doing the squiggly.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
Like
yeah.
the little,
little blur.
Because the girls were having big, you know, you got the big landing strip right there. You can't put that. It's cute. Oh, kids are watching this. You got producers going, keep it. You know, the people in the truck. Yeah. Man, that looked good.
So I heard about that. So that was a war that I heard. Because I mean, there's a book or an article I read about it at the height of it where there was this battle. So
you got strippers because this was like people's first time ever being on TV.
Right.
So you got, you know, we take over your city. We come into your city wherever we are. If we're in Miami, MTV takes over your city.
And that's the bread and butter.
That's the bread and butter. Yeah. So it's like a frenzy, right?
Do you remember anything that just got so out of hand that we never heard about?
Yes, I got one for you.
Yeah.
So when I'm coming in, Paulie Shore is the veteran. I'm the rookie, right?
Right.
I'm like freshman coming in. So Paulie's like, bro, man, welcome to the network, bro. This is gonna be change your life, man.
Buddy.
And I'm like, yeah, buddy. Right? So I'm like, what's up? He's like, dude, I want you to come with me, man. I'm hosting this event. It's gonna be a lot of hot chicks. You're gonna dig it, right? So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I go with Paulie, and we're sitting on this panel, and then it was like, you know, it's a banana eating contest.
Right? Oh no!
No, wait,
eating
wait,
it.
Wait. So I'm sitting there like, you got me in a banana eating contest. This don't sound right. Something wrong with this.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, then they start talking. Ladies, line up for the banana eating contest. I'm like, oh, this is starting to get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not saying anything. They got whipped cream on the table.
Yeah.
They got strawberry sauce.
Yeah.
They got chocolate sauce. They got cherries. And all the girls are grabbing a banana. I said, oh, this is about to get live.
Yeah.
So Paulie's like, all right, guys, just want you girls to know. It's unbarred, whatever you want to do. We got a $500 prize for the winner, second, $200, and $100 for the third girl, right? You know women are competitive.
Yeah.
Girl comes out, peels the banana soft, and one layer down, two layer down, boom, boom, puts the chocolate on the top. I blacked out. That was just the first contestant. Now the other girl's like, spraying all the whipped cream on the banana. Man, when I tell you about a fourth girl, it was so triple X.
Yeah.
It couldn't even happen today.
Well, because, like, Bill, these were contests that would happen. Preston, you probably, these are contests that would happen in bars all the time.
Like I was, this is my intro to MTV. I'm like, I'm going to like it. Paulie's like, dude, I told you, man. It's cool.
But did that make it to air?
No, this was just something. I mean, you couldn't even put that on TV.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
probably just way over the top. But for me, being a rookie, I was like, oh my God, they're wilding out, man. Like, this is crazy.
You had to have your share of women coming after you.
Of course.
You had to. You, young, you know, good looking guy. And right,
hot.
And
hot. In fuego. Rich.
I mean, what could go wrong?
How did you keep it from going wrong?
I just, you know what? I was very, very, you know, selective. And then I was always sort of like, I never wanted to mix my business with pleasure, because any time that I was on air and those girls that were on the set, I never messed with those girls because I've considered them employees. You know what I'm saying? Because if anything would have went wrong, now I lose my job. I never, ever played that game. If I've dated somebody or went out, it was always somebody that had nothing to do with MTV. Like, you know.
Career more important.
Yeah. You know, you never mess up your money.
Do you ever have any stalkers?
Of course.
Yeah.
What?
Imagine. Yeah.
See the girl peeking through the hall. Bell.
how bad did it get?
Bellamy, I love you so much. Marry me. Everybody wanted to marry me. I was like, why? Won't you just go out with me? You might not like me.
Who was the most committed that you encountered? And where was the weirdest place you found?
I had a bunch of chicks like that. Like, yeah. I had this one lady that would just show up at all my shows and just like bring roses and just start walking. But it's a creepy walk. While I'm in the middle of a set where I'm saying a joke. This is for you, baby. I'm like, if you don't get your crazy ass with me.
Right, like, you're trying to perform.
You can't. I had one lady try to get her whole head in my limo. So I cracked the window because she was like, bang, 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 bang. You know how when you in a limo is tinted, but they don't know exactly where you are?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going, I know you in there. Boom, 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 boom. Bill Bellamy, don't do me like this. I drove 52 miles to see you in person. I love you. Don't do this to your fans. And she, boom, 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 boom. So I rolled down the window. She tried to jump through that mug. I was like, so half of her chest and everything is in the crack of the window. And I'm like, ma'am, you cannot get in. Oh, my God, love you. Don't pull off. Her shoes are moving. You really going to move this car? We was moving the car. We gonna drive out.
God. So we actually had to pull
wild
over
time, man.
Dude.
Bill, I want to bring us up to a more current event.
Thank you.
We saw on social media you were at Samuel L. Jackson's birthday party back in December. Are you guys friends?
Real good friends with Sam.
Yeah.
I want to say how he said, man. You know, he's, thank you, man. Thank you for coming to my MFing party. appreciate you, Bill.
You think of this guy. I was just watching the trailer for the new the new Shaft that he's done, the second Shaft movie. So he's got Richard Roundtree. We just had Richard Roundtree in here, the original Shaft.
Super cool guy.
Unbelievable. But look at his career, man.
You cannot call it, bro.
And I'm sure he in his wildest dreams could not have called that.
Do you know Sam Jackson is the most bankable actor? He's made his movies have grossed more than anybody in Hollywood history.
I don't doubt
it. Isn't that unbelievable? It just seemed like a quiet gangster fact.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is like gangster.
This was the guy that held up McDowell's restaurant.
Yeah.
If you remember.
That was it.
From
Coming to America.
He held up McDonald's, bro. McDowell's.
McDowell's.
Mm-hmm. The Big Mick.
The Big Mick.
Yeah. Kathy had the pleasure of interrupting him one time.
Did you mess it up?
At a charity event. He was
Listen, it's something I don't want to talk about. And every time his name's brought up, I just
get nervous.
Go quiet. And I'm like, please don't mention it. Please don't mention it.
She got a little lit up during a charity function.
Well, it was M. Night Shyamalan's party, Halloween party. He lives here. And Sam Jackson, they were filming Glass. And he was up auctioning off an event or something for the charity for the event. And he was going to give away the auction prize a little, fairly low amount.
I had been up there to introduce them. Like, I wasn't just, like, randomly grabbing the mic. Okay. I was up there. But
you were doing something.
I was doing something, and I had, had a few drinks, and then go ahead, Preston.
Yeah, and he's about ready to give the auction item to somebody who way underbid. And Kathy's like, wait a minute! She upstaged Sam Jackson.
But I knew what the prize had went for the year before, and we were, like, half that price. Yeah.
No, we can't go half.
But he didn't go medieval on her ass or anything like that.
He just looked at me like this drunk girl.
I remember one time, it was so funny. I don't think the guy meant to. I think he knew it was Sam Jackson. He said somebody else's name.
Morgan Freeman?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was such a mistake, but it was like, you could tell.
No.
Like,
oh, it was during an interview.
It was Ving Rhames.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think. And it was a sad one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Is that who you think I am? Yeah. And he went midi, like he went straight Pulp Fiction. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, they better go to commercial.
He could have been polite. Oh, you know, hilarious. I remember that.
Yeah, it was so awkward. My man was like, oh my God. Oh my God, did I say Morgan Freeman? Oh my God.
Every worst possible assumption.
Well, I mean, the worst. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was the worst. It was like, as an interviewer, to make a mistake like that on air, you just, your body just shrivels up like a prune.
And a lot of these guys are doing like these local shows, and they, you know, they just got there. They're thank God I finally got a gig, and then you do something like that.
I mean, you can't help it, but yeah. he's so funny. Like, he makes fun of himself, and he's so down to earth, man. Yeah. I mean, he don't even seem like he got that kind of money, but he got it. Right. So he just keeps it low key.
Do you have any stories that you've seen? I mean, because we assume he's an even keel guy.
We all went to the hilarious. This is to show you how much money this man is. Yeah. But we went out to the Saint Tropez. We did the whole Mediterranean on some yachts and stuff. So, you know,
wow.
Just baller. You know, we just ball out with Sam Jackson and Magic Johnson. We just did this thing, and I'm sitting there. Now listen, we're on a yacht.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a crew of about 30 people that feed you all day, whatever. Right? So Sam's sitting at the end of the table.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do my best Sam Jackson impersonation, right? Sit down, Bill. Right? So, Bill. I said, what's up, Sam? He said, man, they got a lot of food on this MFO. Whatever you want, whatever you think of, they'll make it. Asa, she'll tell you, she'll make it. So I was like, can I get some duck? She was like, it'll be right here, Mr. Benjamin.
Wow.
I mean, they have the best chefs, the bubble buck.
Jeez.
I mean, the carpet on this yacht, like you could not wear your shoes. It's no way. You get on this yacht, the carpet's all white, bright, like thick carpet, like soft. You touch your toes feel like
right
in heaven. These guys were all white. They're like pristine. This boat is like shining. Like they're wiping this thing down 24/7. And we're just gliding in ports and gliding out.
God.
Gliding in. Have you ever done something like this before?
No.
Okay,
no.
My bad. We did the
Spirit of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Hey, it's the ferry from Hoboken.
That was cool.
The Staten Island Ferry. Yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah. Not bad. It was raining.
Yeah. Seen some documentaries.
Then they just take the jet skis out and just,
man, that's freaking crazy. Especially
it's crazy. It's on my Instagram somewhere. I had it out there. This was like 2 years ago.
Any Avengers hanging out with him besides Nick Fury? Was there anybody else from the collective?
You get a couple, you know, superpower friends hanging out. You know what I'm saying? Mm. When you hang out with Sam, you are going to see a hodgepodge of success from every angle, right? When we did the birthday party in New York, I mean, you go from Wolf Blitzer to my man who created Star Wars.
George Lucas?
George Lucas. You know, George Lucas is a G. Is he? Like, he's just a G, like
really?
A cool-ass dude. Like, I'm sitting there talking to George Lucas. I'm like, man, you know this man thought of this crazy stuff when I was a kid? Like, what kind of weed?
he played Mace Windu in the...
Dude,
yeah.
George Lucas is a kabillionaire. Like he, let me tell you how much money George Lucas got. He sold his stuff to the man.
Yeah, yeah.
He sold his stuff out to Mickey. I'm done. Mickey, he don't even own it no more. He gave it. Hey, Mickey, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it no more. Uh-huh. Take take this R2-D2 and all this other stuff. Gone. Get out my face.
He funded that second trilogy. He put up the money himself. Mm-hmm.
How gangster?
I mean, that's crazy.
So you got Magic Johnson, George Lucas. You got Judge Mathis. You got Judge Judy. Like, it's just like eclectic success of money and fun people.
That sounds fun.
Wild.
Wow. And Stevie Wonder performed at his birthday.
Oh, my God.
And he could see.
He can see.
He was
water skiing. Who knew? He only saw for Sam, and he went back blind right after the party.
That's money.
Only for Sam.
That's money.
That's money. That can make you see.
I hate to do this because we could talk to Bill all day, but we got to wrap it up. Bill is going to be at Punchline tonight. There's one show tomorrow and Saturday, two shows.
That's great.
Get those tickets because they're going to be gone because Bill is freaking hilarious.
Thank you, guys.
Go to punchlinephilly.com. Man, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to town.
Yeah!
Let's give it up for Bill Bellamy. Yeah. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnotta Friday from noon till 2 at the Sprint store at 1760 Market Street in Center City. Check out Sprint's phones on super fast and affordable plans at great prices. And enter to win a VIP package at MMR's Cardboard Classic, including lift tickets and an overnight stay. Saturday at noon, Nick McElwain rocks Cupid's Undie Run, the nation's largest underwear run and pantless party for charity at World Cafe Live in University City. 100% of net proceeds fund research through the Children's Tumor Foundation. For details and registration link, click events at WMMR.com. Join Jackie Bam Bam Saturday from noon till 2 at the Sprint store at 300 Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey. Enter to win a VIP package at MMR's Cardboard Classic. Hang with the MM Army Saturday from 5 to 7 before the Philadelphia Wings take on the Colorado Mammoth. Celebrate your sweetheart during the Valentine's Day game.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
I would just like to comment on how awesome Bill Bellamy is. We could talk for hours to him.
He has.
And he's just the nicest guy. The conversation just kept going and going after we got off air.
He's so
a good dude. I always liked him. Years ago when he joined MTV, but the truth of the matter is he's a guy who comes, we prefer to talk to people, you know, as opposed to just to do your material and stuff like that. It's not, you know, you're going to go see him and you go see the material when you do it. But he... The fact that he's just ready to roll with stories, and man, you talk about living your best life. He is.
Oh, man. And back then, especially the height of MTV.
We were talking about...
He was in the thick of it.
Preston, how you would wait for that. And mind you, I was years past spring break, but still, it was a debaucherous... It was Caligula on TV.
I would be watching it, and I'm just like... Someday I have to be there. I have to find a way there. And as I was telling you off air, but I would be a mutant, a creature that somehow or another snuck my way into.
I'm a human being. I want to dance with Bill Bellamy. I want to put on my banana boat and have a banana eating contest.
Yeah.
I want to dance with the girls.
It was over the top, but he is just the nicest guy in the world. So that's cool. Go see him at Punchline. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, the Bizarre File this morning brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Russian media is reporting that the American toilet on the International Space Station burst late last week, spilling gallons of fluid that astronauts had to catch with towels.
Oh, my God. That's the ultimate perceived space nightmare.
A plumbing problem in space. A source told Sputnik News, which is closely affiliated with the Russian government, that the toilet in the U.S. section of the ISS malfunctioned on Friday.
Attention, attention, Moscow. We are hitting self-destruct button.
Spilling water into the microgravity environment. Water is precious. It's a precious resource on the ISS where filtration systems recycle shower water, sweat, and urine even. So astronauts separated the water supply line and the liquid leaked. Over 10 liters of water leaked before the problem was fixed, and the crew had to collect the water using towels, but they got to take
it. That's the time you take your spacewalk.
Yep. After a Popeye's chicken robber could not open a cash register, New Orleans police said he resorted to making off with fried chicken instead. So
it's good chicken.
The man entered the Popeyes just around noon on Monday and attempted to steal money from the register, but the register wouldn't budge, so he just grabbed some fried chicken and took off out of the business.
Chicken.
Police later located and arrested Philip Lee on allegations of simple robbery and simple battery.
I got away with $7 worth of chicken.
Here's one that didn't go well either, a crime that didn't. The carjacking did not go as planned for a gunman on Monday night. He used his gun to tap on a driver's side window of a car. He ordered the 33-year-old male driver to get out of the car and then demanded his keys.
The victim stepped out of the car but refused to hand over the keys. The gunman pointed the gun at the victim's feet and pulled the trigger several times, but the gun wouldn't fire. The victim tossed his car keys, and both he and the gunman raced to get the keys. Why the guy throw the keys in the first place? He was going to run after him. Yeah. I don't know. But as they ran, the gunman dropped his cell phone, and the victim picked it up. The gunman apparently got to the car keys first, but police say he was left negotiating with the victim to try and trade the keys for his phone. After the swap, the gunman ran off without getting any of the victim's property, the car, the keys, none of it.
All right, here's the deal. I'll give you the car and the keys if you give me a lift.
The police say the victim was uninjured, and they are searching for the attacker. All right, let me know what you think about this story. A fisherman and moderator of a popular Facebook group has used the body of a dead shark as a bong, promoting widespread criticism on social media.
This happened again.
The video, which appears on popular group Fried Fishing Australia, shows the man holding the lifeless body of a small shark with a pipe stuck between its head and another pipe protruding below its fin.
Was there a similar story to this like a year and a half ago, or defiling a shark body? Remember, somebody got into trouble for that?
Yeah, but I don't think it
was... Maybe it was not a bong.
I don't think it was a bong. The man then lights the pipe, sucking from it before exhaling, appearing to laugh, speak while saying, the Baby Shark Kids song is playing in the background. the group defended the post, explained that the shark was, quote, caught by my mate while we were fishing for mangrove jacks on Friday. After two nights left in the icebox, I came up with the idea. There is no possible way the shark was. In a follow-up post, Fried Fishing Australia said that the complaints have led police to visiting the man in the video. And he wrote on Facebook, I just want to say thanks to the bunch of souks who have complained to the point of the police visiting. Honestly, I quit, he said.
All right, so it's just like a shark that was already captured in a...
It was dead.
Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't like he jumped in and...
No, I think this is pretty funny. The Facebook group is known for posting gory pictures and videos of sea creatures caught by an individual who had once been identified as commercial fisherman Billy Brisbane, or Brislane. He posted photos of himself after catching five bull sharks in one day at McCleary River. But he said, by the way, it wasn't weed he was smoking through. It was tobacco.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Rwanda said on Tuesday that it had signed a $400 million deal to produce bottled gas from Lake Kivu, this is the bizarre part about it. This lake emits such dense clouds of methane.
Yes. Oh,
it's known as one of Africa's killer lakes.
What?
So they had a whole series on Nat Geo. There was a story about one village right off to the side of a lake. A lot of people in this lake. There was the gas formed. It was a particularly humid night. The gas cloud moved off the lake through the village and killed everyone while they slept.
Steve, this might have been in Cameroon because there was one where it actually exploded and killed nearly 1,800 people.
Okay. So the lake, the gas rises in this lake.
Yep.
And then they finally realize they have to start tapping the gas or else it's going to keep happening over and over and over again.
So this gas will settle in places. And, yeah, if it gets ignited, kaboom, man. Yeah, a little worse than that. But so the project would suck gas from the lake's deep floor and bottle it for use. And this should, in turn, help prevent toxic gas bubbling to the surface. I had not been familiar with exploding lakes until I looked that up.
Terrific.
Yeah. All right, and then we'll do one more story and wrap it up. Chances are you probably haven't gotten so mad that you drove an ambulance off the road or threatened cops with a machete.
No.
It all started on a stretch of I-10 in Mobile County, Alabama. Police department received a call detailing a pretty terrible scene. The driver of an 18-wheeler had run an ambulance off the road and then proceeded to do so with just about every other car that tried to pass him, and it was all caught on somebody's dash cam. This dude is like...
Actively running people off the road. Yeah,
an ambulance.
It's like a duel.
Yeah, the ambulance drivers were among the first to report the incident to police when they saw the erratic driver. They turned on their lights in an attempt to get the man behind the wheel to pull over. Instead, he ran them off the road. There's video of this. Other cars attempting to pass trucks suffered the same fate. Several other calls were placed during the event. The driver hit two other cars before police got there, but the man wasn't backing down so easily. He tried to outrun police by crossing the state line into Mississippi. It's unclear where or why the trucker stopped, but he eventually did. And this is when cops found out he was wielding a machete.
Do you know what had happened? They tried to explain it. They think this might have been in a cassette got caught in a stereo and it was playing the Baby Shark song.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Okay.
Just couldn't.
These are things that need to be taken into consideration. So the highway was shut down and police engaged with the angry driver for almost 5 hours, and it took an astonishing combination of smoke bombs, tear gas, and flashbangs to get the guy to surrender.
Could have killed a lot of people.
Yeah, multiple felonies, by the way. This guy's going to go to jail for a while. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. As we take a break, let's give something away. Pro Flowers.
Ooh, I know them well.
I have a $50 gift code from Pro Flowers to call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Be a Valentine's Day pro at Pro Flowers. Visit proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Enter the code Steve to find beautiful arrangements starting just $24.99 plus shipping and handling. So call number 15 right now. We will take care of you. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Lesson, question, trash, music, news on the way next.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to do the lesson question, and today a $50 cash card giveaway from Sergeant Scrab. And the question that I have for you is, what are Kendall Jenner's two dogs' names?
Oh, yeah.
Not in real life. It's what was said on the show earlier this morning, so don't go researching that. It won't be a correct answer. What are Kendall Jenner's two dogs' names? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. Call now, and we will do the trash while you're calling in with your answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, red carpet events canceled for the premiere of Liam Neeson's new movie Cold Pursuit after a controversial interview in which he volunteered information about his youth concerning race and revenge. Neeson says that in light of the dust-up, he's glad he didn't talk about when he sold drugs to preschoolers.
Oh, my God.
Kendall Jenner telling Allure magazine that one of her worst days was when people noticed she had some acne during the 2018 Golden Globes. That said, Kendall did have to admit that even her acne has perfect skin and a tan.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Ozzy Osbourne, 70, was admitted to a hospital on Monday with a serious case of the flu. Ozzy had initially thought his stomach was upset from eating too much of his favorite snack, Tide Pods. And that's all you got.
All righty, we'll go searching for the answer to this question. What are Kendall Jenner's two dogs' names? And John is the first caller I see here. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
John, name Kendall Jenner's two dogs, please.
Acne and anxiety.
Yes! Hang on. Acne and anxiety are the two dogs. And John got it right, so we are going to give John a $50 cash card. From Sergeant Scrap, the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal metal service company. Don't get fooled by copycat scrap companies. Don't take crap for your scrap. Visit SGT-scrap.com for details. All right, we'll get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Brought to you this morning by Patient First. Physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. I have three stories for you.
One, two, three.
Three. Ozzy Osbourne has been hospitalized after he recovers from complications due to a bout of the flu.
Yes.
The singer's wife and manager, Sharon, shared the news on Wednesday, writing on Twitter, as some of you may have heard, Ozzy was admitted to the hospital following some complications from the flu. His doctors feel this is the best way to get him on a quicker road to recovery.
Oh,
Thanks to everyone for their concern and love, she said. Ozzy reportedly checked into Keck Hospital in Los Angeles on Monday. Sharon and the couple's son, Jack, showed up at the hospital.
Trying to cover up the sound of your fart?
Yeah. Sorry. I need that.
Kathy, that's funny, right?
Oh, I'm so bored. On Amazon.
I wonder. Oh. Taking care of Ozzy, you just think that's got to be that's got to be some work.
There's going to be a lot of sponge baths. And,
yeah, you know. See those again.
Yeah.
The other one just killed me, man.
Yeah, I want to put on the TV. Not gonna watch some person.
Oh, it hurts. Oh, God. Okay. Jack showed up at the hospital with security
in
tow.
Here.
I don't know why. No, not Nicholson. Their son, Jack Osborne.
Oh, all right.
What's that?
Jack showed up at the hospital with security in tow.
Oh.
Sharon later left and returned a short time later with a suitcase and a blanket and possible sign that she planned to stay with Ozzy by Ozzy's side.
How do you fit the security in your toe?
What? Oh, not in his toe. T-O-W. Sharon apparently skipped Tuesday's episode of her TV show, The Talk, so that she could care for her husband.
Who's on that show now that you don't have,
Okay,
I don't know.
It's on...
I haven't the slightest idea who's on that show.
Sarah Gilbert, maybe Aisha Tyler.
Because that used to be, what's her name?
No, Aisha Tyler's gone.
Les Moonves's wife was on there.
Julie Chen is off.
And so...
Alicia Tyler's gone.
I love Alicia Tyler.
She's great. She's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have it here. It's Cheryl Underwood. The Talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Who's Sherry that? Ananava, Sharon Osbourne, Eve, and Sarah Gilbert.
Oh, Carrie Ananava from...
She's from Dancing with the Stars.
She was one of the original Fly Girls.
Was she really?
Yes, Carrie Ananava.
Wait, Eve, the rapper? The musician?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know she was on that
show.
She's
from Philly, right?
I think so.
I'm not sure. Nick?
Yes, she is.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Anyhow.
I know that Larry Fine is.
Sharon apparently skipped the show, and then this is Ozzy's second stay in the hospital. Last October, the legend contracted a staph infection that required him to have surgery on his hand and resulted in him canceling.
I think his days of being sort of immortal or... impervious,
yeah.
I think as he gets older, it's...
Yeah.
The tab is starting to come due.
Yep, it is.
The days when you could eat a bad head, not have any problems.
Right.
That's gone.
Those are over. I love this story. Okay, so Billy Corgan has gotten back a Stratocaster guitar that was stolen from him 27 years ago.
Wow.
In 1992. And this Strat wasn't just any guitar. It was the one that he used and got a distinctive sound with on their album, on the Smashing Pumpkins classic 1991 album, Gish. So this is one that, this is very important to him. He told Rolling Stone, I am literally going to take it somewhere and I'm going to get it fixed up and I'm going to start using it. It's a really valuable guitar to me.
And he's been able to verify that it is, in fact.
And I'll give you the details on this. It's an interesting story. He said, I mean, the timing is sort of strange and auspicious. And so I take it as a sign that it's supposed to be part of what we're doing. He said he'll use it on their next LP, which is due out later on this year. Now, the guitar vanished after a June 1992 show in Detroit when somebody walked out of the venue with the instrument 5 minutes after the band finished its show. For 27 years, it remained missing until this past Tuesday, when a friend contacted Corrigan with a picture of a guitar that looked like the one that was stolen. He verified that the guitar was his by certain distinguishing marks that only he knew about.
Huh.
The guitar made its way back to Beth James, a mother of three, who doesn't play guitar and now lives about 80 minutes west, northwest of Detroit. She had spotted the guitar at a yard sale, paid $200 for it because she thought it would look cool in her basement. It stayed down there for the last 12 years until she decided to sell it to raise money to buy a hot tub.
What a hell of a story. Yeah. You know, just a quick question. Is this the guitar used on one of my favorite songs, Drown?
What album is that?
No, because Drown came after Siamese Dream, right?
It's not on a record. It's on the single soundtrack.
But I love that sound of that guitar in that song, and I was just wondering. Okay.
It's so similar to the guitar in this song, which I love, Mayonnaise, and this is off of Siamese Dream.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, but anyhow, Corrigan said that eventually that word got back to him, who James said was pretty happy when he showed him the guitar. Corrigan said the guitar had a special meaning to him because, as he explained, it instantly changed the way the band sounded. It was a guitar that affected the way I played, and I was heavily identified with the guitar. He said, I always felt the guitar would come back when it was time. That's a great story.
Well, if you want some just reinforcement or encouragement, as he said, it came at the time to show this is the direction.
Yeah.
So, it's Steve, it might be the same guitar because single soundtrack came out in 92. Siamese Dream didn't come out until 93.
Do we have that? Can you play just the other? Because I think this is just, I don't know why, but I think this, the beginning of this, the sound of this guitar.
Ooh. Yeah, it's great.
I love that.
Yep. Yeah. So he had, he may have used it, Case, because it went missing in 1991 or 92. If they recorded it before it was released, you know, it may have been the same guitar that he used for this particular
It's very cool. So. Two musicians, and you know this now, you have your guitar that you're screwing around with, mm-hmm. and your drums or whatever. There's a bond there. Oh, yeah.
Very, very much so. If there's an instrument that you love, you've made a bond with it, and you have a very, very sentimental connection to it. So he's got to be happy about getting it back. One last story. Imagine Dragons has joined the 1 billion club again. The Las Vegas band's video for its hit song Radioactive has now surpassed 1 billion views on YouTube.
Wow.
The track, which appeared on the band's 2012 debut album Night Visions, was initially released in October that year. But surged in popularity in 2013. Radioactive became the second Imagine Dragons clip to hit a 1 billion view mark after the video for Thunder surpassed the milestone back in December of last year. At its peak, Radioactive reached number 3 on Billboard's Hot 100 song chart. And there you go. That's what I got in music news for you. Let me give away the last of my free massages from Hannah So Massage and Facial Spa. Our good friend Kasia is here.
Just had a little session.
Did you?
She's freaking phenomenal.
Hannah So, I got to find out, Kasia, where are you from? Which location? Come in here and tell us because I want to make sure
she said
a plug.
Northeast, right?
The Northeast. What? She had to take off.
Attention, Kasia.
No, she had to take off. But anyhow, I have a free massage or facial from Hand and Stone, and we'll take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR.
11!
And we will set you up with that. And don't forget, by Valentine's Day, Hand and Stone spa package, like their Serenity package, it's a 50-minute massage and 50-minute signature facial, and you can receive
100 minutes.
A free massage or facial service gift card, or save $10 on spa gift card purchases at guest pricing. Go to handandstone.com. We'll be back in just a second.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
Our program is coming to an end. One more day of broadcasting, which means another chance for you to win a great prize, Word of the Week prize. We'll get the letter in a moment or two, but I don't want you to miss out on that. Today has been a fun show.
It has.
Really great guest. One Mr. Bill Bellamy was here this morning, and Bill is such a great guy. He is so funny, so kinetic.
Yes.
Just a lot of movements, a lot of energy. he will be at Punchline tonight. There's a show at 8 o'clock, and then he's got one on Friday and Saturday. Actually, two each on Friday and Saturday. It's a 7:30 and 9:45 show. PunchlinePhilly.com to get the details. I want to thank our friend Colleen Kriebel for coming by this morning.
Yay.
And she brought in the souffle pancakes.
Souffle pancakes.
That she made up, and they were really, really, really good.
He raved.
And she brought all kinds of stuff, like slutty brownies, which were neat. I didn't know that
Ashley named Gallo them. Had named them the Slutty Brownies.
So she's right next door to Ashley Gallo's
directly. They share the same wall.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I went by there one day to pick up a cake or something, and Ashley and all the girls were doing a photo shoot next door. So I popped over there and saw them.
Home of the legendary Gallo.
Kreebles, yes, you got to check them out. Fantastic food. Who else I need to thank? Pierre Robert, because.
Yeah.
There he is.
Thank you for thanking me.
You're welcome, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I want to thank you kids because yesterday we were talking about the fighters.
Yes.
And it made Pancake think of something. Casey, you should have two pieces that Pancake just sent over. Maybe they're there. It says Pierre wants to kill one and Pierre wants to kill two.
Wow.
I wish I had that.
Come on.
No. Here, you know what? I got Beaker singing opera. How about that? Wait, here comes Pancake. While this is playing,
he's getting it set up.
It's a musical instrument.
It doesn't get any better than this.
It's not as good as Ozzy trying to cover up his fart, though. That was.
We did not buy
that. That was my favorite part of the day, by the way.
I love when Steve cracks Preston up, which is quite regularly. Yeah, I mean, but it's quite wonderful.
All right, we got it.
We found him.
All right. The basic setup to this is this was a mini slice of our conversation yesterday. You were thanking the two wrestling fellows that were in
UFC.
And I wondered how they could sit next to each other and not attack each other. So, part one is a little piece of how it originally sounded.
All right, here we go.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's what they do, and it's
I do too, but I don't. Yeah. I'm in the ring,
You want to annihilate them.
I want to rip their nose off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So.
That's part
that
one.
Led Pancake to reimagine it. How?
Right. So I have sort of what you have, Preston, movie threats, where I hear movie lines in normal speech all day long.
Yep.
So in that tiny little clip at the very end, the way that he says kill, kill was stuck in my head, and it was a song that we play on Thanksgiving.
Well, and the way I said times. I want it, too.
Yes. So it was just stuck in my head for an hour, and I had to put it together. So part two is what I imagined it as.
All right, here we go. It's what they do, and it's
I do too, but I don't. Yeah. I'm in the ring, I just want to. I want to
kill.
You want to annihilate.
I want to kill.
I want to
kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth.
I want to rip their nose off.
Kill, kill, kill. Started jumping up and down, yelling, kill, kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both.
And there it is.
There it is.
That's it.
It does fit right, nicely, yeah.
Very nice,
it.
Pancake. Yeah. So that little verbal clip made Pancake think of the Alice's Restaurant when I say, I want to rip their nose off. He goes, I want to kill from Alice's Restaurant. Quite brilliant.
Yeah, it was stuck in my head, and I just had to. I had to do it.
Yeah,
and I got paid to do that. So.
Yeah.
Sorry for everybody who's actually doing work.
I'm glad you were able to purge that from your mind. By the way, I like your shirt an awful lot.
Thank you very much.
He's got an Eagles logo, but with a Flyers the Flyers logo is the Eagles eye.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of hybrid Philly sports teams. I like that one the best.
Thank you very much. I have this one. I have a tattoo of the Flyers Phillies logo where the old school Phillies logo is inside the Flyers logo.
Yeah.
And I just designed a T-shirt with my buddy that is a Sixers 7 with the old school Phillies P upside down that looks like a six.
Six. Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. You should market that stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have those soon.
Yeah, yes. That's real smart.
Pancake, everybody.
There you go.
Pancake.
Nicely done, Mr. Cake.
All right, shall we do the letter, sir?
That's what I'm thinking.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
N, as in nonsense.
All right, and we have a trip for two to the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta, and that includes two nights hotel, airfare from Philly to Atlanta, ground transportation in Atlanta, The Walking Dead prize pack, and tickets to Party with the Undead. TV's number one show, The Walking Dead, returns with a terrifying new threat this Sunday, February 10th, 9 on AMC. Must be at least 18 years of age to enter. You can click contest at WMMR.com for complete details and contest rules. What all is in store for the listening audience today, man?
Well, all is in store for you. If you will stay with me, you will get maybe a Philly Home and Garden Show pair of tickets. Actually, I have four tickets to give away at once for their upcoming show at the Expo Center. Also, Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets, which he'll be bringing to the Met April 20th. Got a pair of tickets for that. Workforce Blocks of the White Stripes. It's Sully's birthday from Godsmack, so we will do a block of that fine band. And they are from Boston, and so to round it out, we'll do a block of Boston. And so Boston, and White
More
Stripes.
Boston. Yeah, I love Boston. I love the band.
So many acoustic moments, so melodic moments, harmonic moments that with the guitar and the vocals, really wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Nice. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show today brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Also brought to you by Mealy's Furniture. Just what you're looking for. And also brought to you by Witham Smith & Brown. The Cupid's Chase 5K run by Community Options is on February 9th. CupidsChase.org to get yourself registered. Tomorrow, as we wrap up the week, we will have as a guest comedian Sam Morril in our studio.
And
we'll give away that Word of the Week prize. And anything else we've got goes to you, my friend. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I gave everyone 2 months to book a reservation for lunch after my wedding, and nobody did. So now we are going to an expensive-ass restaurant of my choosing on your dime. Thank you.
Next message. Next message.
How the hell did you get past HR shooting each other in the ass? I can't even get HR to let us do a bake sale.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.